Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, and welcome to another live prophetic talk show where we actually do it more than we talk about it. That is, we minister to you personally, pray for you, prophesy to you all week long. You know, Mondays and Tuesdays, we do a lot of talking, and yet we still prophesy to people, as you guys know. Wednesdays is all, that's all we do is prophesy. In fact, we go from 20 to 40 people every Wednesday. So if you want to be in that, you will make sure and get ministered to personally, prophetically. I will be praying for you and prophesying over you personally. Every Wednesday, we do every person that calls in. If you can wait long enough, sometimes it goes 3-4 hours. But so if you can do that, that would be great. And you can call in early, by the way. Anytime you want to call in early to the show, you can. You call in 15 minutes early. The show starts at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, Texas time. The best time in the whole world, by the way. And you can call in at 8:45 Central Standard Time. And you can, once it says to you, the automated system will say, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Okay, on your phone pad, click 1, and it'll put a little hand up. Yes, we have little hands that go up, but it has a little hand that goes up showing that your hand is up, right, and that you're wanting to be ministered to. All right, and that way we will make sure to get you, because if you don't put your hand up, we think that you're just sitting there wanting to listen to the show without being, without having your privacy bothered and messed with. So we don't do that. We honor you and give you your privacy on the show. And we're not asked to have a conversation with you unless you put your hand up, which means you want to visit or you want to pray or you want something. All right? All right. So that's every Wednesday, and then all during the week, including you know, Mondays and Tuesdays, we do the same thing, except we don't minister as a whole service to everybody. We minister usually 3 or 4 or 5 people, prophesy to them, and then talk to them a little bit, spend a little time talking with them. On Wednesdays, we don't talk to anybody about anything. We just go from one person to the next. And all right, so that's every Wednesday. And then on Thursdays, of course, we pray, take communion, pray over offerings, that kind of thing. People give all week long, and when they do, we pray over their offerings on Thursdays, right? But if you need prayer, and I can do that Monday, Tuesday, especially on Wednesdays. All right, we started doing that, I don't know, a year ago, something like that. So welcome to the new PGN. And tonight we have my good friend from Texas with me tonight, who I told you guys would be on with me tonight. And he had a very close experience with death. You know, we have talked about for years about premature death, that why the blood of the doorpost and walking in the will of God is important, because the enemy will try to come and get you. Even if you're walking the will of God, he'll try to come and get you, right? I know a lot of people have near-death experiences of walking the will of God, right? The enemy tries to come in and take them out to keep them from walking the will of God, because you're very dangerous, friend, as you know, when you're walking in the will of God, because that's where your meat is, that's where your food is, that's where your strength comes from, is walking close to Jesus, close to the Holy Spirit, close to the Father, in the will of God. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. All right, so we know Ken walks in the will of God. I'm sure he wasn't perfect. In fact, I know him pretty well. I know he's not perfect, but he's really close. And I'm going to get him on here in just a moment, and he's going to share. Mainly I want him to share, he had an experience with COVID-19. I think that was like in January. I think it was in January. January of my brother, give me those. Let's just get you on here. How about that? Let's get you on here. Yeah, I get you talking. All right. All right, 903.
Yeah, I'm here,
Randy. There?
Yes, can
all
you
right,
hear me?
So I'm already messing up. So tell us now, you had a COVID almost took you out. But I know you. You're one of the most stubborn people that I've ever met personally ever in my life. I don't think I know anybody as quite as stubborn in a Holy Ghost way as you are. Some people call that, you know, faith and loyal faith and tenacity. I think that you are a top example of that, better than most anybody I know personally. So you had COVID hit you, and that was what, in January?
So it was around Christmas time, 2021, and you know, just to kind of set it up a little bit, you know, I was feeling great. You know, I was going out to the family ranch and, you know, just doing work on the ranch, you know, right around Christmas time, a little bit before Christmas time, and, you know, throwing around some 60-pound bags of concrete, fixing some road that washed out and buckets of rock. Around Christmas Eve, we always do Christmas Eve over at my sister-in-law's house, just a tradition. And I knew as soon as I finished the meal, I knew something was wrong.
Why? Because you started feeling weak, or what? How did you know something was wrong? Like you had the flu or something, or what?
I thought you know, it's probably the flu or something. So, you know, I toughed it out and came home and went straight to bed that night. That was Christmas Eve, and the next day we were having Christmas at our house, Christmas Day, the 25th.
Right.
And I did not leave the room. You know, we had everybody over here at the house, and I didn't get out of my, the bed. I was so weak. But at that point in time, you know, my wife went and got a COVID test because, you know, everything's, a lot of people were dying and people were getting it. And then the home test showed me negative. But, so I thought, well, you know, I'll just tough this out. And for a few days there, I did. And then, you know, I ended up going to, there's like an ER clinic here in town. And I went there and, you know, they diagnosed me with COVID. You know, and sent me, they gave me some, you know, antibiotics and stuff, and they sent me home.
Right. So you weren't feeling, I know you pretty well. You are a tough son of a gun. You're a weightlifter.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, you know, you're not some wimp over here. I don't want to mean call anybody a wimp, but, you know, you're a tough guy. I mean, you're a tough guy. And, you have a lot of faith. I know God used you to open up doors for me to minister in East Texas area and you know, all over the place. You work. You're a hardworking person. You're not lazy. You're a very, very hardworking person. Very stubborn, in a very godly way, of course. I don't know. We may have to talk to your wife to find out just how that works on your end over there. But so for you to show up, for you to go to the doctor, for you to go to ER, you had to be feeling pretty bad.
Exactly. And, you know, so I went there initially and, you know, they said, all right, just go home, rest, you know, take these vitamins, take this, and, you know, you should feel better in a couple of days if you don't come see us. Well, a couple of days later, I'm back. And I tell them, hey, you know, I'm going the wrong direction here. And they're saying, no, just kind of chill. You know, it may run its course a little bit. You may start to feel better in a few more days. But if you don't, come back and see us again. Well, a couple of days later, I was back again. And
For the third time,
yeah. And they, at this point in time, my oxygen was very low. My oxygen blood level, you know, normal is about 98. And I was in the mid to high 70s.
Wow.
I'm struggling. So they sent me home with the oxygen tank and said, you know, hey, if you're feeling bad, come back again. And sure enough, you know, I told them, look, you know, something's not right. I don't go to the doctor. If I'm showing up, I got a problem. time I went, I was very fortunate. I had a doctor that came in, and he recognized in me. Yes, at the same ER, yeah. He recognized in me what had happened to him a year earlier. And so he knew. It was like he had this, he just knew when he looked at me, he said, "You're not leaving here except by an ambulance." And I said, "I got no problem with that, Doc." Yeah.
Yeah, because you knew something was bad wrong. You knew you were really bad off.
Yeah, at this point in time, I'm very much struggling. I'm having a hard time. My strength has betrayed me. So he was adamant, and I was willing, and so he said, "I'm going to get you a bed at the local," and he had to work on. There were so many people that were already in the hospital and emergency room, and you know,
from
the whole
COVID.
Sixth floor. Yes, yeah, it's, you know, it's a running through in a big way. So he came back about every hour. I was there waiting for 7-8 hours for a room to clear up for me, you know. And he would give me little tidbits here and there about what helped him. He was one of the fortunate few. He went on a vent. He went on a ventilator, and he was one of the lucky few. He was on it for 12 days, and he actually lived to come off of it. So,
what a percentage of people that die from that, they get the percentage that die from the ventilator is how high? Pretty high, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get to that here in a little bit when I – so he arranges, right. And I there in an ambulance. And so I'm thinking, great, you know. I mean, it was cold. I was chilled. I was having sweats. And I get to the hospital, and I think, you know, they're going to have a room for me. Everything's going to, you know, I'm going to have some peace and quiet. And I guess they were prepped, and he had kind of told them a little bit how bad I was. And so I had four doctors there, internists and doctors, and they were just adamant. They were saying, you know, you need to sign a DNR, which is a do not resuscitate. Your slim chance of living is to go.
Explain what that means. Do not resuscitate. In other words, you're pretty much probably gonna die, and we don't be responsible for you, or what?
Yeah. It's basically you're given your consent. If you die, they won't use the measures to try to bring you back to life. So yeah, a DNR.
Right.
So they're just hammering away at me, and I'm wore out. This is late at night, and you know, and they're just taking shots at me. You know, we're trying to help you, Ken. Let us help you. Sign this. Go on the vent. You know, you're wasting precious time. Let's get on with this. You're not in good shape. You don't realize how sick you are. And I fought them off. Yeah. You know, I was not expecting that. Just, you know, it's kind of in my face. And,
yeah.
But it was a wake-up call. I knew I was really bad, and hearing them talk about how bad I was didn't make me feel any better. But
I can't believe they did that. I guess that's part of their job. But
yeah, I mean, they, you know, I'd like to think they had my best interest at heart. And to them, this was my option to live. I was in that bad a shape that they didn't. Oxygen was so low. You know, they thought that the ventilator was the only way I had a chance to make it out alive. But I told them you know, and you're talking about the odds. I said everything I've read. You know, only about 12% of the people that go on a ventilator come off alive.
Wow.
And when I said that, it was a, you know, we were having an exchange back and forth, a little bit heated, I would say. And when I said that, none of them argued with me. None of them said, oh, you know, Ken, it's 30% or it's 50 or it's 45. And that just really struck a note with me, that because if 12% was wrong to them, they would have certainly told me, trust me. You know, it was it was all, everything was on the table. And when they saw,
that's scary.
Yeah, it is. When they saw I wouldn't go on the vent, it kind of upset them a little bit. You know, like I'm not. Hey, you know, I need to get in line and follow everything that they're saying. But I fought them on that, and it, you know. So when they saw they couldn't put me on the vent, I say, you know, they kind of just shook their heads, and I felt like they just dismissed me to die. I was rolled down into a room. Now they had told my wife to leave. My brother was there. They told him to leave. And so they had had a nurse roll me down into a room, pull the curtain, and close the glass sliding door.
Wow. I want to make real clear right here that the reason that they did that is because everybody else that had the same symptoms that you had after they checked you out and all the things they checked out from you, everybody else that had it as bad as you had it have basically died. So they're basically saying, you've got it like all these other dead people, and now we're going to take you down here because this is where all the dead people died.
That's how I felt about it. I mean, I really went into an alertness, and every breath just became a struggle, fighting. And so when I wouldn't go on the vent, they put me on. They said, okay, well, they had a tech hook me up to a BiPAP machine. It's another breathing type machine to help you force air into your lungs. So here I am, you know, in this room all alone. I go from, it's a shift. I went from dealing with the doctors who've now, you know, they're done with me, to now it's just me and God.
Wow.
And I knew in my condition, as weak as I was and as frail as I was, if I closed my eyes, that I was going to die. I was just going to, there was just no doubt about it. So I forced myself. Something just rose up in me. I forced myself just to stay awake and just to pray throughout the whole night. And this was probably, you know, 10:30 or so. And I thought, man, this is going to be the hardest thing probably I've ever done. This is going to be a tough one. But, you know, I immediately, the first thing I thought about was Jacob. And, you know, Jacob wrestled with God all night long. And that story, I played that over and over in my mind you know, I will not let you go. I'm not giving up. I'm here for the duration. I will not let you go except I get a blessing out of this. And so all of these Bible stories and Bible verses just begin to, that I've known the Word of God for 50 years, begin to just come into remembrance. And I'm pleading. I'm weeping. Okay, and you know me, Randy. I'm not a crybaby.
You are not
crying
a
crybaby. Out to God.
Sure.
I am crying out to God. God, you know, I want to live. I want to see my daughter grow up and be more mature in the faith, and I want to see her get more established in life. That was my prayer, God. Oh, God, God, look down upon me. Have mercy upon me, Lord Jesus. God, I'm pleading, Lord, let me live, God. don't cut my life short, God. And just crying out, and there was just this spirit of, there was a spirit of death in the atmosphere there that you could just feel it. I mean, it was just a tangible thing that I could touch with my hands, you know, and I think with, if I was in this deal, it's like you enter into your spirit when you're one breath away from death and one breath away from eternity. You step into another realm.
Whoa.
The whole thing, it becomes, everything becomes heightened. And and that's where I was at. I was pleading, crying, weeping before the Lord, you know, and a scripture, or not a scripture, but something that a preacher that I used to sit under quite a bit said to me years and years. I heard it. He said, God does not answer prayer. God answers desperate prayer. And I mean, that's where I was at.
Yeah.
And so that's where I was at. I was desperate. The doctors couldn't help me. Why? My wife's not there. There's nobody there. It's just me and God having it out. And, you know, wrestling for
my
life, trying to.
You were in a tomb, almost like in a death tomb. Like, that's what it sounds like.
You're exactly right. Yeah.
You're being buried alive.
I just felt it. Yeah, I felt like death was just so present with me. I am struggling for my next breath. And, you know, as we're having this conversation, we're not thinking about breathing. But
right.
When you're in that weakened state, every breath, you know, every breath was like, am I going to live or die? And I could feel my body. You know, the Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26, the psalmist said, my flesh and my heart faileth. And I was saying, God, oh God, my flesh and my heart are failing, God, but you are the strength of my life, God. Quicken me by your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if he dwells in us, will give life to our mortal bodies. And I was saying those scriptures over and over and pleading them and crying out and pleading the blood of Jesus. And it talks about groaning in the Spirit when I would get to a certain point and just my mind was on overflow with all of the Word of God and the stories of God. Hannah weeping bitterly before the Lord, you know, crying out for a child. When I got to that, it was just, you know, I'm just would be wordless. And, and the Romans talks about groaning. I mean, I would sit there, Randy, I would go, oh, just in my spirit. I'm just going, God, God.
Jesus.
I'm just groaning and groaning and, you know, crying out to the Lord. And you know, hours had gone by, and I felt that quickening for a while. And it was like a surge of electricity went through my body. And, you know, just, it was like, you know, hallelujah. God had, God gave me that supernatural strength, and it just encouraged me more and more just to cry out to God and just to pray harder and more fervently and just to rise up for the occasion, you know. God.
So you literally felt an energy come from the inside of you, or where did it come from?
Yes, I felt like the Spirit of God came upon me, and my whole body felt like I was just supercharged with electricity for a period of time. It was like I went from, you know, every breath, I could almost feel my body like I was almost about to leave my body, a transition between flesh and spirit, and just that quickening that the Holy Spirit gives us at times, the energy, the fire, came upon me, and I just began to just pray even harder. You know, God, you're our,
wow.
you know, Lord God, you're my ever-present help in my time of need. God, this is my time of need. Lord, I need you now. God, I need you now. I don't need you tomorrow. I don't need you yesterday. God, I need you now. You're my rock. You know, you're my fortress. Rescue me. Save me, Lord. I'm just hanging in there. And then after a period of time, you know, that feeling just left me. And that urge that the anointing would say, or the Spirit of God, I felt just so weak again. And
right,
you know, I mean, you have these thoughts. I thought, man, this is not good. But I didn't give up. I kept hanging in there and kept remembering. You know, I thought about the Hebrew youth that were in the fire. You know, they were facing a certain death. They knew it was
yeah.
a certain death. And I thought, God, this is where I am, God. Unless you show up, God, I'm going to get thrown into the fire of death right here. And, you know, God, I pray,
wow.
let rescue me like you did the three Hebrew youth. And, you know, on and on, God's just this tension of everything. And so this...
And this is all going on, like, all night long. I mean, you kind of work from one level to the other.
Yeah.
All night long. From 10 till 10 till in the morning, I guess.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, this is like, you know, and I mean, you know me, Randy. My mind wanders. I can't pray for an hour at a time. I'm not trying to be a super saint here by telling people, your listeners, that, hey, this guy, there's something unique about Ken Chin. I mean, this guy prayed all night long. No, I'm like the disciples.
Yeah.
Jesus said, hey, you know, can't you guys hang out with me for an hour and pray? I'm fixing to go to the cross. This is
wow.
the Gethsemane experience. And, you know, they couldn't. They didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's me. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. But when you're forced, when you know that life and death, eternity, and you feel like, and you know in your spirit and your heart that this is not going to end this way. I'm going to fight with everything I have to beat this death sentence and to overcome this spirit of death that surrounded me and the spirit of death that's running rampant in this hospital. I'm going to fight it with everything I've got, and I'm going to pray all night long, and I'm going to pray until I get some kind of victory out of this.
Yeah.
And so as I began to pray more and more, then I looked down at my body. I'm in a bed, you know. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. I looked down at my body.
Yeah.
And my body, my arms was just covered in a white, glowing, frosted light, and within the light,
wow.
it was like you could see. Yes, it was like beautiful. It was could see like particles
Holy.
Moving in the light. It's not a light like we think of. Okay, there's a light on in the house or something. This was just a glowing light that it was had energy. It was moving. It wasn't static. And when I first saw this, Randy, I thought, you know, you hear all these stories, people see the light, and I started to
Before
panic.
You go to heaven.
I thought, this is it. This is it, God. I know, it's over for me.
Going.
I'm seeing the light. I'm fixing to die and go to heaven, which is not a bad thing, but, you know, it was not what I wanted. It was.
Yeah.
And so as I began to struggle there, thinking, okay, God, I surrender. If this is it, this is it. And, you know, after about 5 minutes, you know, nothing happened. I was still breathing, barely, but I was still breathing. But I began to
wow.
get fascinated. The fear turned into a fascination. And I
With
would
the
look
light.
At my arm, and I would go, wow. Wow, my eyes were just go like, holy Jesus, thank you, God. And again, just a surge of energy began to flow up through my arms and through my body. It was like another wave. And I knew that I was having a supernatural experience here. This is not something that I've ever seen, and something that probably most people will never see. It was just, and you know, this is the Spirit of God. This is the presence of God, or this is God's angel. And I was in a battle for my life, and I thought about Elisha the prophet. Again, it's good to know the Word of God. And, you know, Elisha was giving the secrets to the king of Israel to what the enemy was planning to attack them.
Right.
He knew by the Spirit of God. If you, they know, it's, I think, 2 Kings chapter 6, if y'all want to go back and read that. So finally, you know, and the guy thinks, you know, someone hears, you know, tipping off the king, you know, I got a traitor in my midst there in the army.
Yeah.
And so he sent his whole army after one prophet.
Yeah.
And, you know, the prophet is, he's living in a dimension. I like to think that, like I was experiencing at this time, he was seeing things in his everyday life that others did not see. So his servants all panic attack. Oh, my God. Oh, Elisha. Hey. Wake up, man, wake up. We are, it's over for us, you know. I mean, it's been nice knowing you, but, you know, they're fixing to take us out. Elisha prayed, God, open his eyes. And God opened his eyes, and he saw into the spirit realm, and he was able to see that the angels of God were surrounding him. And the fear left him. So, you know, I had this going. Yeah. That's a good place to kind of pause for a second and just meditate on that. Isn't it?
Woo! The glory.
The glory. Yeah, the glory was there, and it was beautiful. It was supernatural. You know, Paul talks about getting caught up into the third heaven and how, you know, it's hard to describe and so forth like that. But I still can see it in my mind. I can still, I'll never forget that. So this probably went on, you know, for about 30 minutes. I'm just.
Oh, wow.
I'm just fascinated. I mean, I'm staring at my arms now, you know. How weird is that? You know, I'm staring at my
arms.
That
is weird.
My body. And,
Hallelujah.
The
glory
thank
arms.
You,
I got glory arms.
Hallelujah.
I lost my physical strength, and now I got glory strength.
Amen. I felt it, So this goes on for, I don't know, I would say 30 minutes, and then the light just disappeared. And here I go again. I'm like, whoa, you know, that was so beautiful. But, you know, it's like going to a deeper level. And I'm groaning in my spirit at this time, Randy. I mean, I was so I literally felt, I remember thinking, my insides are going to burst out of me. How deep an intercession I had. And I thought about Jesus, you know. I can't remember the medical term. I used it in the book. You know, I had a doctor read the book before I published it. But there's a medical term. It doesn't happen very often. But Jesus was having such intensity that he sweat blood.
Yeah.
You know, and there was that. You know, he was such in the midst of the battle to save our souls, the battle to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, to go to fulfill his destiny on the cross. He knew what was fixing to happen. And, you know, he was there all alone. And so I'm just groaning in the spirit again and again thinking of every scripture I could think of that would come to my mind. And just knowing I have to make it. I have to make it till the morning. I got to hang on, because if I did, and I thought at times, I thought, you know, man, I just need to roll over. And I knew it, as soon as I had that thought, I know it was like, no,
like
I resisted
death talking to you.
That. Yeah, I resisted that thought, but, it would come and go with me. And so the light disappears, and I'm groaning in the spirit, praying, God, have mercy on me, God. Let me see my daughter live. Let me live the rest of my days that my life would glorify you in a great way with whatever time you have for me left. Just crying. I mean, you know, it's, hey,
yeah.
It's just you and God. There ain't nobody else there. And
wow,
this went on for a little bit longer. Then I heard in my spirit, and then it jolted me. I heard these words, you shall live and declare the glory of God.
Yeah, wow.
And it just jarred. It jarred in my spirit. I mean, I know you hear God all the time, Randy, and we'll talk about that after I finish up. I want to talk about how I met you if you allow the time. But I heard this in my spirit. It was like it entered from the right side of me, coming left to my spirit, and my mind processed it after my spirit did. And I heard it again the second time with more power and more conviction. You shall live and declare the glory of God.
Whoa.
And sometimes, God has to tell you the Bible. I heard it a third time with more authority and with more conviction. You shall live.
Wow.
And declare the glory of God.
My God. I can feel the power of God all over that.
Yeah. Yes. And that was just such a word in due season to me, God being merciful and gracious to a sinner like me, clinging to life, to my very each breath, hanging on in God. And I must have said that 1,000 times to myself the remainder of the night, is, God, thank you. I am going to live. I began to declare that in my spirit. Oh, God, I am going to live, and I'm going to declare your glory. I will live and declare the glory of God. And
wow,
I began to repeat that over and over and hang on to it.
You know what's so powerful about that? I hate to interrupt.
I'm sorry?
One of the things I've talked about a little bit over the years, especially the last few years, is that, the Word of God is full of scripture about what could apply to us. You could have applied a lot of scripture to your situation, right? A lot of scripture could apply to your situation. But here's what I've been telling people for a long time, Ken, and I'm still learning it myself, is that you can confess the Word of God all day long, and that's good. But when you get a word from the Lord about your circumstance, and you start quoting that like you did 1,000 times, brother, that's going to be rhema resurrection power, and that's what you did.
Amen. That's bullseye right on. You can preach that all day long, man. That's what it is. It's that life-giving. Jesus said the words I speak are life, and they are spirit. And it was that word, that rhema word, that gave me life, quickened my spirit again. Gave me more faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that Word of God pushed faith up in my spirit to fight even more. So I'm rejoicing. I'm hanging on. I'm fighting. And, it was probably a couple more hours. I was still travailing in prayer and, still fighting the battle. But as the time went by, I heard that glass door, Randy. I heard the hand on that glass door. I heard it.
Whoa.
And that nurse, she had her hand on that door. I heard that thing shaking. And the Spirit of God began to come upon me as she slid that door over, slid it over.
Whoa.
And pushed that
like
curtain back, flowing all over my body and just surged all through me. And, man, there was just such a shift. There was such a shift. It was just life-giving. I mean, I remember the psalm. You know, David said, our soul has escaped like a bird out of the trap, the death trap. The trap had been broken. The death had been cast off. You know, he brought
wow.
me out of the lion's den. He brought me out of the lion's den of death, just like he did Daniel. I began to think
yeah.
about Lazarus. And, you know, I didn't die like Lazarus did, but that story, it was like resurrection power was flowing through me.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it was new life. It was a new life for me. And I began to think about the children of Israel as they were in the desert, as they had fled Egypt. They had the mountains on one side, the mountains on the other side, and the sea in front of them. And the armies, the mighty armies of Egypt are coming at them hard. It was a certain death sentence for them. God parted the
yeah.
waters. What looked like death, God
yeah.
parted the waters, and they walked on the other side, dry ground.
Whoa.
And the waters came back over, crushed the army of Egypt, and they had a
yeah.
new life. It was a new beginning. A new journey was about to begin. There was that separation. The Egypt was cut off. And that's how I felt. I felt like there was this transition. I didn't die. I fought. I won. And it was just such a beautiful experience. You know, I had the joy of the Lord. There was no way. I mean, in my body, I was still just weak and fragile and hanging on. But I'm sitting there smiling and grinning from ear to ear, and this nurse does not say a word. She comes in, and they fully expected me to be a dead man, I'm sure.
Yeah.
She leaves and goes back to, I guess, the nurse's station or something, and I'm just sitting there still just grinning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I made it through. You know, a man who can't pray for 30 minutes. I fought. I've wrestled with you. God, I did not let go. And just the
wow.
joy of the Lord, the resurrection power of Christ, the anointing that surged through my body as I'm just laying in bed. And I'm... You know, she comes back a little bit later, and she rolls me out to the sixth floor, which is where they keep the critical COVID patients, and push me into room 602. I'd remain there for a month. But even though everybody else could die any minute.
Yeah.
If you looked at everything medically, you'd say, it's not good, Ken. You know, it's I don't know, it's touch and go still. And it was that way for several weeks. But I knew in my spirit, I knew I was going to walk out of there. I knew that death was not going to claim my life at that point. I just had a conviction. I mean, they were x-raying my lungs every other day, and I'd have to look up there and I'm listening to them, and I just tune them out. I knew I was in bad shape, hey. But God, yeah, God supernaturally showed up that night. God had mercy on me.
Wow.
God sent, God stayed, the death angel kept him away from me while others, 1,000, were falling at my left and right, the psalmist said.
Yeah,
you know, but it
literally.
That plague will not come near me. It's not going to take me out. So,
right.
Yeah,
what's so amazing
yeah,
about
so
that whole thing is that for those that are just now tuning in, let me kind of tell you where we're at on this. It's so powerful. Ken had gotten COVID-19. By the time he got to the hospital, he was so bad that they looked at him, they diagnosed him, and they said, and they basically told him, sign this agreement because you're pretty much going to die because everybody else has died. So they wheeled him into this room all by himself, turned the lights up, rolled the glass door shut, closed the curtain, whatever, walked out, and within 24 hours, which when most of them had died, the nurse comes back in there after Ken had cried after God all night long and thinking of scriptures and all these scriptures that he had going through him. And then the amazing thing is, and we've talked about here many times on the show, when God gives you a specific word, God does, and tells you like he did Ken. God spoke to him three times and said, you will live and not die and declare the glory. That wasn't some preacher. It was Jesus. It was the Holy Ghost speaking to him directly.
Yeah.
So he took that spoken word that God gave him. He could apply, the Holy Spirit could have applied 1,000 words to him, but he gave him that one, friend, and that one was the one that he confessed. You just don't confess anything. Confessing the word of God is great, but he started in his circumstance of life and death because they rolled him in there to die, knowing he was going to die. Everybody else died that went in there. Just 90% of whatever it was, a bunch of them, thousands of them.
Yeah.
And so when they came back in there, and when Ken had cried out to God and confessed that word that God gave him 1,000 times or more, that's what broke him through. And then the next morning, the tomb was rolled away. That precious nurse rolled that glass door open like the tomb being rolled away. And Ken starts getting that grin.
Hallelujah.
He gets that Holy Ghost glory again, like, I just robbed death. Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah. Beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. The stone was rolled away, baby. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, that's powerful. Yeah, hallelujah.
But you were still really weak. You still, even though you had that supernatural breakthrough and you felt and you knew, you said this before I interrupted you, you said that you, when they came and they rolled you out, that they took you in a room where people were still critical with COVID, who a lot of them died, most of them died. They still were very concerned about you. But you knew after that word that God spoke to you directly, that you knew you were going to make it from then on, right? That's kind of where you're at.
Exactly. Yeah, medically speaking, you know, you looked at it and you would thought, you know, I don't know, you know, not looking good, brother. I don't want to sugarcoat it. And I had a long battle. You know, I was there for another month.
Yeah.
I had lost a, when you're struggling like that to breathe, your body works really overtime. I lost 32 pounds of muscle. You know, your body is so struggling.
Yeah.
And I, at first it took me a while to, I get it now. But I thought, you know, I'm just laying here and I'm losing all this, you know, muscle and weight and strength. But it's because you're struggling. You know, it's burning all those calories. You're fighting so hard to breathe.
To live. Yeah. Breathe.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was just really, you know, I went from the BiPAP machine. I made very slow progress, and then they put me on what they called after a couple of weeks, a high flow oxygen mask. So that's like a step down.
Okay.
Let me throw this out there too. Satan tried to take me out again here on this, which this is.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm no engineer, but when I looked at this mask or, you know, spits up your nose where the air can blow up in, I thought, you know, that just doesn't, I don't know about that. That doesn't look right. You know, it snaps in and turns, and I thought that's kind of funky. And I had a few issues during the day, and, you know, fortunately my wife was there and she could grab somebody. She was, man, I, I was so weak, she had to feed me for 3 weeks. I went from throwing 60-pound bags of concrete around out at the ranch to not being able to pick up a fork and feed myself.
Yeah. Wow.
It was tough. So anyway, so this I've got this high-flow mask now. You know, hey, you're making a little bit of progress. Let's try to ease you down off this. And, you know, say, okay. So I rolled over. It's just, you know, I think 3 o'clock in the morning, I rolled over. Like I said, I'd had some issues with it before, and the thing just breaks on me. The whole thing just fell apart.
Wow.
And I hear
beeping
noise, and it's the machine going off, you know, beep, 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 you know, when your oxygen level gets so low, and I'm sitting there, oh, my gosh. And I felt, and sure enough, and so I'm going into panic mode, and I'm hitting the call button, and the nurses, I told them, you know, if I'm calling you, I'm not calling you for a glass of water. Come get me, something's not right. You know, I'm not going to bother you. They're overworked. They've got too many patients to look after. So I made it clear, when I hit that button, baby, something's wrong. Hitting that thing 20 times. Nobody's coming.
Wow.
I'm sitting there watching my oxygen, you know, 90, 80, 70, and I'm going, oh, and I'm trying to
kill you.
You
could die from that.
Oh, I was a breath away from death. The last thought I had, Randy, was, okay, I'm twisting this thing, this mask, trying to get this, to get the air back up in my nose again so I can breathe. And my last thought was this. My last thought was, wow, I'm beating COVID. I beat COVID, but I'm going to die because I can't get any air and this mask is broke. And as soon as I did, this lasted probably about 2 or 3 minutes. It seemed like 2 or 3 hours, but it was just so intense. I mean, it was life or death again.
Yeah.
I'm going, wow.
That's crazy.
Know, Satan's really trying to knock me out.
He's trying to take you out.
I took this last breath, and I thought this, you know, that was my last thought. This is it. And somehow or another, I was able to twist the two plastic hoses that go up to your nose that fit to this, and it clicked. And then I went, just like that, I'm like, whoa, man. You talk about another wake-up call. You know, I was asleep, and I'm going like, whoa, man, I didn't sleep the rest of that night either.
Because if you hadn't woken up and done that, you would have died in your sleep, basically, right? I mean, that's without that oxygen, you couldn't breathe still.
Yeah.
That's just where you were at.
Yeah, at this point, I'm so weak. My life was dependent upon that oxygen, absolutely, and I would be a dead man without it. I couldn't go. Could go 1 minute without it. 1 minute.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, my lungs were just, I wasn't there yet.
And your wife wasn't there. It's almost like it got set up to where you were all by yourself with that mask falling apart, and you can hardly, you're out of it. I mean, you're dying. You're much better than you were, but you're still in death zone.
Oh, yeah.
And here your mask just falls apart on you, and nobody's there to help you.
Nobody came. Nobody came to my rescue. Nobody. And I later found all night long nobody came. And I'm not trying to fault the nurses. Love them. Nobody came. And when my wife showed up in the morning, I was like, man, you're not going to believe what happened. You know, almost left you again. And I told her, Rhonda, she's Kermine, so she closed the door, walked out, and went to the nurse's station.
Yeah.
And said, what's going on at night, you know? And the poor nurse, you know, you have to make life and death decisions sometime. And she had a brand-new patient who was just been rolled in a bed, and she's staring at him, and he's one breath away from death. And she told my wife, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, and she felt terrible. And, I mean, what are you going to do? She said, you know, I had to make a decision. I'm with this man who I think is fixing to die on me if I move and leave him. And I heard
wow.
your husband. But I thought, you know, it can't be that bad, so I'm going to stay with the patient that I think's about to die.
Yeah, because in their mind, you had they all knew that you had just conquered death, you know, so to speak, in that 24-hour period. When you came out of that, they're going like, well, somebody must be with him, but they don't. Well, he don't need me that much. And it was God.
Yeah, and it was so cool, too. One of the doctors, kind of backing up here a little bit, but one of the doctors, I think it's worth throwing in there, he was making his rounds on the sixth floor the following day, you know, where they had moved me to. And it's all glass, right. And my room was right in the middle. I had a view of everything that was going on. I was right in the middle of the COVID unit, and I could see the left and the right. And so this doctor, I see him as he's going and his pacing, and he looks, and not knowing I'm in there, he looks and he sees me in there, and he becomes to a stop. He turns toward my door, and he says, "You must be a warrior. I'm going to keep my eyes on you." And, you know, that's not – this was – you know, we don't use that word.
This is a medical doctor.
You know,
Yeah,
I mean, this medical doctor from another country, he said, you must be a warrior. He had no idea what he was saying. He had no idea what I went through. And, you know, it was a battle. It was really something. And, you know, it's like.
That's amazing.
You know, we have to do our part, Randy. We can't just roll over and play dead. We can. You know, if I know I would have died. You know, God's going to do his part. We have to do ours. If my people who are called by my name will pray, then this will happen. You know, we have a role to play in our destiny, in our fulfillment of God's will. And that was so powerful, what he said to me. All I could do, I couldn't talk at this point. I just smiled at him and gave him a thumbs up. I mean, he was literally one of them who had dismissed me to die. He didn't expect to see me there, and it stopped him. It stopped him in his tracks. You're a warrior, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, he knew. He knew something was going on special with you because he had seen probably everybody that goes in there die.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was shocked. Yeah. He stopped in his tracks when he's going like, what? Where'd he come from? Yeah. Well, that must be his brother or something, or isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he saw that that death had not taken me out, and he was shocked.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
That was
We really need to pray for those guys. They see so much stuff, man, and they just, like, get in a death mode. And they pretty well invite you in saying, you're going to die. You're this bad off. You're going to die. And it's like a death trap, a death place. Now, you said something earlier, Ken, that was so powerful about, I think, a preacher in your book. I read your book, and you put in there some preacher guy sent you a word that he got from the Lord about how you have to do your part or something. What was that? Or do you want to talk about that now?
Oh, that's a great. I've forgotten it. So many things, but... So
it's
this
lot,
preacher's
yeah.
in another city. Yeah, he's off, and he sends me this word. He says, "You have wrestled with God, and you have won the victory, but God will get all the glory." And he said, when God spoke that to him to send to me, he said, "I wanted to change it." He said, "I had to." He said, "I fought God over it." He said, "I wanted to say." You have wrestled with God, and God has won the victory, and God gets the glory. you know, God has won the victory and God gets the glory.
Yeah.
But yeah. But the Lord kept telling him, no, that's don't write that. Tell him, you have wrestled with God, prevailed, and you have won the victory. But God will get all the glory. And it really goes back into the fact that, you know, there is the human element. There is the will to fight. There is the warring in the spirit, taking the authority of the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and praying through. You can't just sit around and you know, and do nothing. You have to have the will.
Yeah.
You have to have the desire. You have to want to fulfill God's calling upon your life.
Yeah, and the reason that that doctor, now that pastor that you're talking about from another city sent that to you before he ever even knew what shape you were in, right?
No, he didn't have a clue. He
he didn't have a clue.
About
okay.
Working God.
Okay, so
no.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what
I mean,
was going to say. The
word
of God from that man of God.
That word went right to my spirit. When I read that, I thought, wow, brother, you ain't got a clue what I went through. But you nailed it. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a strong prophetic word.
Strong word.
Powerful.
And listen, powerful word, a prophetic word from a man of God, which I know who that person is. We both
yep.
know him together. And
yep.
he can mention his name if he wants to, but it's up to you. But the fact is that the reason that doctor can, who gave you up for death, he knew you already. He said, this guy's going to die and knew because he'd seen thousands. I don't know how many bunches of them die already.
Yeah.
He knew that you went into that room and you were pretty much going to be dead. So when he saw you
that
the next day, he did not realize what went on in that room is that Ken Chen, according to that prophecy that pastor gave you before he even knew what you were going
yeah.
through, he didn't have a clue what you'd gone through. That doctor that told you that didn't know that he was confirming to you that Ken Chen, that scripture you gave earlier, or you told me today, I think, I can do all things through Christ. You have to do your part.
Amen.
You struggled. You wanted to
yeah.
stay alive. You fought. You cried out to God, and you cried out, and you cried out all night long. And because you cried out, like that pastor told you, God, you got the victory, and God gets the glory. Woo!
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's powerful, you know. It's powerful, and, you know, to think that we really have a significant role to play in it.
Wow. I think most people don't realize that, Ken. I don't think I realize it as much as I should. You know, we just think,
yeah.
Oh, it's all up to God. Oh, God did all this. God did all this. No, the Bible says that I can do
yeah.
all things.
Preach it.
Like Jacob
yeah.
wrestled with that angel. Jacob had to wrestle, and he wouldn't let go. He wouldn't let go. Not,
yeah.
not God. The angel that tried to get let go, Ken was so decided, I'm going to live. I'm not going to let go until you bless me. And you had to not let go.
Amen. Yeah, it is. You know, I fought like I've never have. I mean, I wrestled with God all night, prayed all night.
Wow.
And,
yeah.
you know, it's, you know, I know what it takes now, Randy. I know what it takes.
You got a secret.
You know,
you got a secret.
Yeah, brother. You know, and you know, it's there. You know, have I prayed all night again? I have not. I haven't done that.
Well, I don't
and,
think Jacob
you know,
probably wrestled with any more angels all night long either, because he didn't have that encounter with.
Well, I that's a good one. Thank you. I hadn't thought about it in those terms. I felt like, you know, God, there's a price to pay. Let's just put it that way. There's a price
yeah.
to pay to have the anointing. There's a price to pay to walk with God. There's a price to pay to live in the Holy of Holies. There's to live like Elisha, to live like many of these men of God and women of God have in the past, who they just live in a different dimension. They see things in the spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, sometimes they call them seers, you know, S-E-E-R, and sometimes prophets, and you know, sometimes they heard. But they live in a dimension in the spirit world, and it's real. It's really real, and when you're that close to it, you know, the light and hearing God's voice and the quickening of the spirit, you have a heightened sense. You know, there was that tension going on between life and death, and almost like I felt like I was almost stepping into another dimension of the spirit because
of
my
body
and everything. Oh, I did. Everything was so weak.
Yeah.
You know, it was wrestling, you know, and I was, you know, fighting against principalities and powers and holding on to God with everything I could.
Yeah, and at the same time, God was using that to break you like bread so that you could enter into a place that you'll never go back from. And had you not gone through that, as you know, you would have never entered into that probably you did.
Never.
And it was, and right now, I'm sure like Joseph looked at it, he looked at it and he said, you threw me in the pit. You got rid of me. You tried you were going to kill me. You sold me out.
Hallelujah.
All that stuff became a blessing for him so he could rule and reign with Pharaoh and save people.
Yeah.
And he had never gone through that.
Yeah. I wouldn't trade what I went through for nothing, Randy. That's how precious it was to me. You know, everybody wants a miracle. Nobody wants to go to death's door and pray all night long to get one.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, I didn't. But, you know, when you're in those situations and you know, and it's just, and it can be a number of issues. It doesn't have to be COVID. It could be anything. It could, you know, be a business or a marriage or a relationship or whatever you're facing. You know, if it drives you, if God somehow uses that to drive you to him, and you travail, and it breaks you, like you're talking about breaking the bread, and opens up your spirit, and you're groaning, and you know that's a beautiful thing. That's a very beautiful thing.
Listen to this, man. You got here, and only God could do it, probably to a few. And you're one of them, and that is that he had to drill deep in you quick. You know, God got more done in you in one night than some people get their whole lifetime because of the circumstances.
Amen.
And because of your stubborn resistance to die and to live, that God did so much with you in 24 hours that most people don't get all their life.
That's
the gift you just got.
Yeah, amen. Yes. Yeah, that's a precious, precious word. Thank you. So true there, man. So true. That's powerful.
You got it hard, heavy, and fast, man. You talk about God saying, I do a fast work. How about drilling down that usually takes months and months and months and months and years to do in one night? Try that on for size.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise God.
So you struggled, you got out, you were there for 30 more days, you were there for 30 days, and you had therapy. They had to, like, why did they have to give you that therapy for? What was that? That was to get your muscles back? And what was that about?
Oh, wow. I mean, I was so weak. I mean, you know, I mean, I couldn't go to the bathroom by myself. I couldn't, you know, I lost it. I was so weak, you know. I used to, you know, previously, you know, I would walk in a room, to any room, and most of the time I always felt like I was the strongest person in the room. And to be humble and broken like that, to where, you know, I couldn't stand up to brush my teeth. So, you know, after about 3 weeks, it was an effort for me on my bed. I would move my feet, you know, a half inch. Then I would move my shoulders over a half inch. I'm trying just to inch over and get to the side of the bed to sit in the recliner during the day. And by the time I get over there, I'm like, But, yeah, I had to just I couldn't walk. It was 3 weeks that they sent a physical therapist in, got me up to, you know, to try to walk to the glass door and walk back to my recliners. It's funny now, but wasn't funny then. And, you know, just a really slow progress, you know.
Right.
And it was a slow.
One thing I want everybody to know is that you're talking about being like a Ken. I've known Ken for a long time, and when I first saw him, I thought, man, this guy's a dead guy. Like, he looked like Hercules. He's got, you know, don't you go get the big head. Well, your big head's shrunk already.
I'm not.
Yeah.
No,
I know.
Yeah.
Not. But Ken was a very muscular, physical fit person. You have to understand, he was not just a typical weightlifter. He was like into it. You know, very competitive, very, you know, competitive and athletic and that. And then all of a sudden, through within, what, 7 or 8 days, once that stuff hit you, it
yeah.
3 or 4 days you spent, you know, the ER thing, and then you were in the hospital. But that stuff hit you so fast, you were so weak within a few days that you couldn't even walk, right, or do much of anything.
Yeah.
Within
a few
days.
Yeah, I mean, it took me out bad. You know, I was humbled by it. I've never experienced anything like that at all. And you know, I don't know what to say about it. It was tough stuff. I had a nurse. I'm tell another little story here that I had in the book there too. She came in on the night shift, and this was her first night. So she walks in, and she's got my chart in her hand. You know, I'm you know, 2.5 weeks in or so now, and I'm making a little just baby steps improvement, 3 weeks. And she's going through it, and she's going, she's not looking at me. She's she'd read a little bit more. She'd go, I'm just watching her. She'd read a little bit. You know, she's getting the full lowdown on me there. And she reads a little bit more, and she's, okay. And she turns to me, and she said, Mr. Ken, she said, Mr. Ken, she said, you beat the COVID two-step. And I'm like, I never heard that word before, COVID two-step. And I believe I did, but kind of, you know, what exactly is that? Well, that's the phrase us frontline workers have, that when someone comes in as bad a shape as you were, and we think they're going to be dead, you know, real quick, the two-step, they call it the COVID two-step. We had a good laugh, and she was a Christian woman, and I told her my testimony.
Yeah.
At this point in time,
wow.
I could kind of share a little bit, and she was rejoicing. We had it was just, I needed a little encouragement. God sent me that beautiful nurse that night telling me I beat the COVID two-step.
Yeah. The two-step meant that when you showed up like you, she was a frontline worker. She wasn't just some, you know, nurse that, she was a frontline worker in the COVID war. And she said you overcame this. I've never heard that either until you told me the two step. So the two step meant that you were in her and the frontline workers, they knew that when they came in like you, that you were basically dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was her words. I take two steps, I'm dead. You know, my life is, I'm done for. And,
I see.
You know, when I shared that testimony, she just received it with faith, and she was a spiritual believer, and we just had a sweet time rejoicing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I slowly worked myself. You know, I kept fighting. You know, I told the physical therapist, I said, come back tomorrow. You know, let's take some more steps. And I worked myself to where I walked around the nurse's station one time. You know, they've got me with oxygen on, and I've got two physical therapists. One of them is pushing a rolling recliner in case I pass out. They're going to try to shift it so I don't fall and hit the floor.
Yeah.
But I think I had to stop a couple of times and sit down. But I made one lap, and, you know, I thought, okay, you know, praise God. And so the next time I made three laps. And then they came back a couple of days later, and I made five laps. And as I was making my fifth lap, you know, one of the nurses said, well, and I was give out. It was right there and I stopped. And she said, well, you tied the record. I said, well, what do you mean record? I said, what do you mean record? She said, well, the record up here, this is the sixth floor is five laps. I said, I'm going to beat it. I said, I'm going to, my next go round, I'm going to beat it.
Yeah.
So when they came back, I did seven laps the next,
wow.
I think it was the next day or day after that. And it was just
yeah.
so, it was an encouragement to them and to me. You know what they did, Randy?
No.
One of the nurses, we called her Sweet Tea, was her nickname, Sweet Tea, precious
yeah.
lady. She went out and bought me probably a 50-cent trophy. It said Superstar on it. It had a little button on the bottom that pushed it, and it lit up. It turns blue. The blue light goes around in a circle.
Yeah.
And they wrote on my
wow.
on my glass door, they drew a track like a track and field. It was the nurse's station, and they wrote on the top of it the date on the glass, and they put record holder, seven laps.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
That is
amazing.
One of my
what
prize.
A beautiful story about how they cared and how they did that for you. So that's amazing.
No, it's so sweet. You know, I think I shared with me. I think I did. But I went back. You know, I wanted to be like the Jesus cleansed the 10 lepers and only one returned to give thanks and fall at his feet and worship him. So I went back.
Yeah.
Here about 3 weeks or so ago and to the sixth floor, and it was just beautiful. They were all there. The timing, it was just a God thing again. All my
yeah.
nurses were there. And at first, they didn't recognize me.
Yeah.
They didn't recognize me. I started talking, and I could see their eyeballs get big, and then they came out from behind the counter, and we just embraced and hugged, and, you know, that we want to take some pictures, and it was so beautiful. And I just told them, I said, you know, I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. I know y'all
yeah.
pushed me and did everything you could to help me. And,
yeah.
You know,
hey, I want you to hear
yeah.
this. That's beautiful. We have a lady who just texted me about 9:54, something like that. Cynthia, this is Cynthia. She said, Randy, this is Cynthia. She's texting the show tonight as you were talking. She said, my cousin, now listen to this, Duana, and her husband, Larry, plus my cousin, Terry, and my aunt, Louise, all have COVID right now. Can you please, can he pray for them, please? Talking about you.
Yes, yeah, yes, Father. Lord God, we ask, God, that the life-giving spirit, that Jesus, the resurrection power, God, would just flood their bodies, God, would touch them. God, be with them in their time of need, God. Lord, we cry out for their lives, God, in this battle. Lord, again, God, you are an ever-present help in our time of need. And, God, these people need you now. God, Lord, manifest your glory to them. Manifest your presence, God. Let the strength, let the quickening power, the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit surge through their bodies, God. Lord God, let them hold on to you as Jacob did. God, let them wrestle with you, God. Draw them close, God. Let your healing hand touch them, God. Jesus.
Yes, you, Jesus.
God.
Yes, God. And may their will become like Ken, when they realize, like Ken realized, that I can do all things through Christ. In other words, if they rise up and they will to live.
Yes,
they will to do the will of God. They will it to choose God.
Lord.
They choose God.
Yes.
When they choose him, the Bible says when you draw nigh to God, then God will draw nigh to you. And not until we draw nigh. The Bible says draw nigh to God. And then he will draw nigh to you. Hallelujah. In the name of
Lord.
Jesus, we loosen you now.
Yes.
I come in agreement
Hallelujah.
With his prayer, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's get her on here just for a second and let her give – Cynthia, is there anything that you want to say about that real quick before I
– No, I just thank him, both of you, so much. It just – all of a sudden, it just came upon them, and one got it, and then all of a sudden all four have it, and it's two different households, and – it's just is very strange, but they're in Texas,
they're in Texas. Yeah, and then here we are tonight talking about this. I mean, I knew Ken, wish I had been gone for a while, but Ken, you got anything you want to say?
What
part of Texas are they in?
Sis?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm in East Texas. There's a resurgence of it happening right now. When I went back and visited with the nurses, they were talking about, I mean, how the whole sixth floor was full again, and they're not seeing as many deaths right now, but you know they're seeing more people getting it.
What city are they in? You don't have to say if
you
don't want to, Cynthia. What city are they in?
They're in Grand Saline.
Grand Saline.
That's
in that area. Yeah,
down the street. Yeah, not too far. Yeah. Well.
Wow.
God heal them. God raise them up. God use it.
Yeah.
Use it for your glory, God. Use it for your glory, God. What the enemy means for evil, God. Take it and use it for good. Turn the test into a beautiful, glorious, glorifying testimony to you, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you all so much.
Okay, so
thank you.
Okay, thank you, Cynthia, for that. So you're saying, Ken, that there's a new surge in the East Texas area?
Yeah.
Okay. And when did you talk to him? Just the last few days, last few weeks, or when?
Yeah, the last few weeks, I was up there and the hospital beds are getting full again. And, you talk about working out and training. The guy that I work out with, my trainer, he has COVID. So he texted me, Saturday or Sunday. He says, I'm going to be out for a week at least. He says, you're on your own. So I went this morning and worked out on my own. But, yeah, he's got it now. And so I don't want to say too much, but he's involved in the medical health care industry as well. He also does training certain specific people.
Ken has written a book about this, and if anybody, I already decided, I didn't tell him this, but if anybody wants that book, I will get it for you. I've already bought some of them, but I've known Ken for many years, and Ken has been such a blessing to me over the years. So if you want that book and the whole story's in there, he only told part of it. It'll make you weep. I don't know if everybody weeps over it. Well, the first time that he sent me just a copy of it before they put it out, I sat there and reading it and just wept over it. As I told him about that, I said, Teeny's turning into a crybaby, you big baby. And, you know, I'm sitting there weeping over that thing. I said, I know this guy, you know. And the story is very well told. Very great book. If you want that book, and he has it out now, just let me know, and I will get it for you. I'm going to send it to you. Yeah. So Ken didn't know that, so I'm telling him right now. No, he's not here to sell his book. He wants people to read it because I wanted him on here to come and share what God did for him. Because this is a personal testimony of somebody that I know personally. And so you guys know how I am on that about you know, bringing people in that I know personally about things. So thank you, everybody, for listening to this. And we may have him on here more. There's so much more. Okay, somebody says, I would love to have that book. Okay, you got it. You got it. All right. And then others, I'm sure, will do the same thing. But, yeah, we will get it to you. And so just ask me, and I will have it. I'll get it for you and send it to you. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. I'm so excited for you. This is like, and there's so much more to the story, the things that his wife was a part of, and his daughter. His daughter shares a little bit of things on there. It's very beautiful. Go ahead.
That's, you know, my wife wrote a chapter in the book, and then my daughter wrote a chapter in the book, the latter part, from their perspective, you know, this very, you know, I don't want to be a little crybaby like you, Randy, but, you know, reading my daughter's section in there, it's touching, you know. She was at her last semester in college during this time, you know, this is January, and she was really torn. I mean, all she had to do was go back and finish up, you know, this last semester to graduate, and she didn't want to go back because she thought I was going to die. And, you know, she said, I'm gonna leave out a semester. And, you know, my wife said, you know, that's not what Daddy wants you to do. And so it was,
very hard for her to leave.
Yeah, when she came home during the break and came through the door, and I was sitting on the couch, that was just a sweet, precious time, and I was able to tell her the story of what God did. And my wife, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to whip you now. You know I'm crying. I can still take you.
Yeah, you're a crybaby now. I've always been a crybaby because I'm sensitive. I got it. We love you, man. Yeah. Go ahead. So your wife also, she was very instrumental. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I was very the hospital had just lifted their policy. You know, I know people, a man that I work with, you know, he died on a ventilator. He went on a vent. They talked him into it. But they had just lifted the restriction, you know, a couple of weeks before I went in. You couldn't have anybody in. And so they would allow you. Yeah, you were all alone. And so I would have died. I mean, you know, I couldn't even feed myself. And the nurses, God bless them, they were just too busy to take care of all the sick people. And so, I thank God. I mean, my wife, you know, Mary Hart does good like a medicine. I remember her getting a fork and like we were feeding our daughter, you know, here comes the choo-choo train. She'd put the food up
choo-choo
to my mouth. You know, you just have to laugh, and I'll never forget too when my nurse Sean rolled me out in a wheelchair. It was freezing cold, and so the car, my wife has pulled the car up, and I'm getting into the car, and he's making sure I don't fall and everything, and I'm just looking with amazement at my surroundings. And then, you know, I noticed that we're not moving. And, you know, I look over at my wife and she's just bawling. And it was just so precious. I reached over and gave her a hug, and we both sat there and cried for a few minutes and hugged each other and just said, you know, God is good. You know, she had been tough. She hadn't, the doctors told her, don't cry in front of him. Don't do it. And so she hadn't cried there for a month. And, you know, she said, I didn't think you'd make it, you know, and,
yeah.
So,
well, nobody, hardly anybody did make it.
Yeah. Oh, that was the thing too. When I went back and saw the nurses, you know, it's funny now, you know, you can laugh, but when they recognized me and they gave me a hug and everything, you know, one of the first things they said was, we all thought you were going to die on us. we all thought you were going to die. I said, well, you know, thanks a lot. Praise God.
Wow.
You know,
that's
just praise.
You know,
praise
I would
God.
Hate to be
Look
in their position.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's they're very, very special people, you know. I mean, I'm not going to brag, but I saw what they went under and the stress they were under. And, you know, my wife and I, we fed the sixth floor of nurses, not just the ones looking after me. We fed them like four times. We had food brought into
the
hospital, and we tried to love on them, and I'd have a nurse come by, and you know they're not my nurse. They slide the door open a little bit and said, "Thank you, Mr. Chin. I wouldn't have eaten today. I'm so busy. I wouldn't have eaten today had you not had that food delivered." And well, praise God. You know, that's one person
awesome.
Giving thanks to me. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Such a blessing to be able to do, and you know.
Well, they liked you too. After that, they make sure to take good care of you. That's for sure.
Yeah, I wanted to know. You know, that guy in 602, he's all right. You know, let's take
he's
care of him.
Right.
We don't want him to die. Yeah,
that's right. And you didn't.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
That's awesome.
And it was really good too. It's beautiful in so many ways. I mean, it was just a death up there, and they needed to see a victory as bad as anybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So you
it gave them.
Yeah, you definitely lived to declare the glory of God to those nurses.
Yes, yes. For them to see, and one of them even said, man, it does our hearts good to see you. You know, we need a win. You know, we need a win. And that, you know, they're in the trenches and, so God let them see
man, that's
a miracle in me.
God let them see a miracle in me. Yeah. That's awesome. That even rhymes. Dude, that is so powerful. I mean, and we could go on and on. I know the testimony when your daughter came home from school, and you happened to be home when she walked in that door. Because she thought you were probably going to be dead too. I mean, all the doctors, everybody said, you know, they tried to prepare your family, get ready because your husband's probably going to die. I mean, even
they
your
did,
daughter,
you know.
Guys talked straight to your daughter about that. I love that about how you talked straight to your daughter, you know, as wisely as you could. And she was thrilled when she saw you sitting in that chair at the house. I mean, that was like amazing.
Yeah, that was a. That was another God moment for sure, a very precious time because, you know, she flew back to her university and she fully expected, you know, she was like, you know, my next call is, you know, I'm going to get a call. She thought she'd be flying home to bury me.
Yeah. Well, they just buried her grandma the year before that on the anniversary of January the 4th.
Because
I read the book.
Yep.
Yeah, that anniversary of January the 4th is when her favorite mama died. You know, her grandmother.
Yeah,
she was very close to.
Oh, they were two
That's
peas
the day
in
you
a pod.
Checked in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the one. your anniversary, you know, and my wife, what she wrote was, you know, she was like, you know, God, how can you be doing this in the beginning? You know, it's like my mom, she had planned on going to the graveside and putting flowers out and looking through some, you know, photographic books, the pictures, and
memories.
Remember, and you know, 1 year memory, and this is a very painful time.
And here they're checking you into the hospital, and they're all telling you that you're going to die.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, they thinking, you know, well, we lost Mama last year on January the 4th. We're going to lose Dad this January 4th is what they're telling us.
Because those people, once you check into that place and the condition you were in, you're dead within, what, a few hours or a day?
Well, my condition, everybody's different, but in my condition, they didn't expect me to live through the night.
Yeah, because one of the things is that to no fault of anybody, we're not blaming anybody, but, and I don't know what you think about this, but my opinion, when I read the book, I had my opinion about that, so I hope you don't mind me sharing my opinion. When you went in there the first time to the ER, and then the second time, and then the third time, come on, man. I mean, like, thank God the fourth time you went in there, you were in such bad shape. I mean, if you'd have went in there the second time and got into the hospital then, you wouldn't have had to go through all that, right? I mean, do you think or no? You don't have to share if you don't want.
No, I would agree with you.
Because I heard other testimonies like that. I heard other people say, you know, even when the Ebola, when Ebola came to Dallas, I remember that guy who died of Ebola checked in, and they kept saying, no, go home, you're going to be fine. Go home, you're going to be fine. Of course, that was a different thing. But and I've heard several testimonies of COVID people with the same thing, and they sent them home, and by the time they get to the hospital, they're dead the next day. So we need to really pray for them that they'll – and God had designed for you. What I loved about in the book is that what God designed for you was something different, because he had on the fourth trip that you went to the ER, there was a doctor there that had just conquered it a year before that. I think you said a year before that. Yeah. And he just happened to take you in. He said, I'm not going to let you go home. You're going to the doctor. You're going to the hospital right now. They got an ambulance, and you were checked in right away because that doctor who had been through it himself, even on, he was on a ventilator and lived through it with the ventilator, but he knew. He said, I'm not letting you go home.
No, if he hadn't put his foot down, and if he would have just said, I've got so many people here, you know, let me just get another one in, send this guy home, I would have died. I actually went back and saw him. I went back and said thanks to him, too. He didn't recognize me, but I told him, as I began to tell him who I was, it all came back to him, and he was just like, wow, man, you know, thank you. You've made my day.
Yeah, for sure. Wow, we could go on and on. I mean, I could, you know, I'm a question asker. I'm an interviewer. I've interviewed some very well-known people. I've interviewed some people like Ken Ain't Nobody. No, I'm just kidding.
But, I'm not. No,
you know,
you're right.
I know how to. No, I'm just kidding. We always play with each other. He tells me I'm ugly, and I tell him he's uglier. Stuff like that, you know. He tells me he got all the muscle, and I haven't got anything. Why don't I grow up and get some? Some stuff like that, you know. Yeah. We play with each other all the time. So I'm just playing, but I could go on. I mean, there's so much to this story, y'all. You got to get the book, and like I said, I will because Ken's a friend of mine. I will give you that book. And get it for you and give it to you as a gift from my friend and from me and from PGN, because we love you. And believe me, being an interviewer, I read the book today again, right? I told Ken, I said, I'm reading it today. Get ready, because I want to interview you. I don't want to just do – I want to interview you. I want to break down into everything, and that's what I do as an interviewer. Ken doesn't even know this about me, but I'm an interviewer. I've been that for years. I interviewed a deliverance minister well known around the world. I interviewed him in my studio many years ago. I had a studio many years ago, and I interviewed him, and he said, and this guy was, he wrote Pigs in the Parlor, one of the most well-known ministers of deliverance that has ever been. Yeah. He's known worldwide. And Frank Hammond is his name. And I interviewed him. Mm-hmm. And he said, Randy Chandler, he said, the way you ask questions, the way you interview people, he said, I've been interviewed by a lot of people. He was well known. Been interviewed by a lot of people, but I've never been interviewed by anybody like you. You have a God-given gift to break into things and say things and ask questions. And I said, dude, it's all by word of knowledge, and not all of it. But so when I read his book today, y'all, we could go on and on and on with this story. It is amazing. You've got to get the book, and believe me, I'm going to give it to you. Right, you don't have to buy anything. There's no buying nothing. And Ken didn't come over here to make money. I know him. He's my brother. We want to bless people. And he didn't even know I was going to do this. But I'm going to give you the book. So just ask for it, and I'll get it to you as soon as I can. So anyway, brother, I'm just bragging on what a great interviewer I am. And don't you dare say anything nasty about it either here live.
Mm-hmm. That's very beautiful of you. You catch me at a sensitive moment, but I want to just tell your viewers how I met you, if I can take a few minutes.
Yeah, go. I'm not sure. I may stop you if I don't like it, but go ahead.
Well, that's right. You're at the control panel,
sure.
So.
I am.
So
yes,
this is how I came across my brother Randy. My brother and I were driving. It's about a two-hour drive to go to a service, and I was actually—I didn't know Randy. I didn't know that he would even be at this particular service. I was going actually to hear someone else, and you know, it's a two-hour drive. So my brother's sharing his heart with me about some stuff that's going on in his life, I went up for prayer afterwards, and I walked up to the altar, and I had my eyes closed, and Randy came over, and that's really the pure thing about being prophetic, and is what I really love about the gifts of the Spirit, and how there's just such that you know it's God, and when someone doesn't even know you, you know, and so Randy came over, my eyes are shut, and I'm. You know, it's a good thing they were. I didn't have to see his ugly mug, but no, just kidding, brother. Love you. But the eyes are closed, and I'm sitting there, and he begins to prophesy over me, and he just reads my mail. I mean, it's just there's no way he could have known anything he told me. There's no way other than by the Spirit of God. So at that point, I knew he was a man of God. I knew he was anointed of the Lord. I knew he had a prophetic gift. So I went after he finished, and he moved on. He was prophesying to a bunch of people. So I went and sat back down, and I told my brother, I said, hey, get up and walk up there and let that man pray for you. I don't know who he is, but do it. So I'm... My brother was obedient, you know, and he went up there, and it was like Randy, when he started prophesying to my brother, it was like Randy was sitting in the back seat during the two-hour drive, the things that he shared with my brother, and my brother came back. He said, man, thank you. He said, yeah, that guy, he really nailed it. I was sitting there watching, and I thought, yeah, praise God, and so, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. Everybody knows we have seen things, and people get out of balance, and they don't hear from God and that. But that's how my friendship began with Randy, and I don't even know how many years ago that was. It was 10 years, 15, I don't know.
That was in 2005 or 2006, something like that. Yeah, because 2005, 2006, And you never even told me that story. I'm sitting there wanting to cry, and I'm thinking, who's he talking about? He's talking about me. But I remember you saying something one time that God had took, but you never told me any details, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
You're something else. I don't know.
Yeah, it was, and I've always, I've had different people in my life that God's put in my life that had a prophetic gift, and I never let them, as I would say, I never became friends with them. I always wanted to keep them at a distance. I didn't, I didn't want them to know anything about me. But, with Randy, I felt like God was I felt like there was going to be a friendship that was going to be formed out of that, and through that experience, and
yeah.
I ended up getting his phone number from the preacher that was preaching that night, and then Randy and we ended up doing a lot of meetings together, and God just really did some powerful things in our little
God really
neck
used,
of the woods.
Yeah, God really used Ken. Actually, the reason not only did we have meetings that Ken worked hard, very, very hard to put together, and just, you know, when you do meetings, it's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of work. Have you ever done it before? And he would do meetings, and he'd show up, and he'd just, you know, hand it over, and basically we'd just start prophesying to people, call people out. And I remember the first time we were there at your brother, your other brother's house.
Yeah.
And I remember you can probably I don't know if you were at that meeting or not, but that meeting went on.
Yeah.
I prophesied for 6 solid hours. Jerry was there with me. You remember that? I've told this story many times here on the show, but I think people believe me, but I mean, it's always nice that somebody was there. But my pastor said, Randy, how did you do that for 6 hours? I was with you the first 3, and then he said, after that, I just slumped down in my chair. I couldn't do anymore. I'm going, dude, don't ask me. It's the Holy Ghost. I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
But that actually happened, right? I mean, you were there at that one, I guess. Yeah, for 6 solid hours.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that.
I had to be there
in the natural realm. Yeah.
No, you can't.
Yeah, your brother
it's like
was
praying all. Yeah, it's like praying all night.
Yeah.
You can't do it. But yeah, that was such
there
a
you
powerful
go.
Meeting, and the very first person you prophesied to, I knew, and as a result of that, and you know the story. I don't want to say any names, but you know he ended up starting a church as a result of that. It's a very thriving, growing, vibrant church, and I think you came back and were asked to dedicate the grounds of the new building and all that.
Right. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
stuff.
He was
things.
I remember that, and he had. I think the word I'd never seen him and didn't know who he was, you know. And I remember saying something to him like he had been betrayed by his brothers and something about God was going to turn around and use him and kind of find out. I think you maybe told me that later or somebody else told me that he had had that very experience go on that a church he was at, I think, betrayed him or something like that. And he gets, I don't know if he almost gave up on, I don't remember exactly the details. I don't want to stretch anything, but yeah, from that meeting, he took it as God because he knew that I didn't know him. And that had to be the Lord speaking to him about that. And so he started a church that, you know, grew in a great way. He's a great man. And he ended up building a brand new building. And it got paid for by somebody paid for that building and blessed him with that.
Yeah.
What a blessing it was. Yeah, and I was there for the dedication. And, yeah, so and Ken – you know, Ken was the one who actually got me involved in doing things over the phone because I can't tell all of what my wife used to say about you, brother, but it wasn't always just, it wasn't ugly, but it wasn't exactly nice either. We would be out spending our private time together and the phone would ring she said, who is it? That's the, you know, cause we're having our private time, right? Women very cherish their husband's private time. So, and we didn't have a whole lot of it. So she said, who is it? I said, it's Ken. She says, do you think you could take it later? I'm going, no, it might be important. So I pick it up. And here's what Ken would do. He would like be in a restaurant or something. And he would be in a restaurant. And he said, hey, Randy. And I'm walking around in the heat of the day, right, with my wife, you know, and our dog. And hey, Randy, I'm here at the restaurant and I got somebody here with me. Can you pray for him? And before I could say no, he would hand them the phone, and I didn't even know who they were. I didn't know what was going on. Male, female, no name, no nothing. He just said, here, and he hand on the phone, and I'm going, and I hear the voice saying, hello, and I wouldn't even know who it was, right? And so I started just prophesying over him, and you can blame that on Ken Chin. He's the one who got me doing this stuff, y'all, by phone. He's the one, so. Write him some. I'll give you his phone number. You can call him like he called me that day, and let him know what you think about that. But that actually happened, right?
Oh, all the time, yeah. And it was so beautiful, you know. If you were been on my end of it and seen the reaction of these people, some of them, again, it goes back to what I said earlier, the purity of the gift and the power of the gift. You know, it says in Corinthians, you know, that they will worship God because they know, you know, God is speaking to them. You know, there's no way anybody else could know that. And so I'm sitting at a restaurant or someone's in my office, walks in, and they start telling me something. I just say, hang on a minute. Let me punch up a friend of mine. And I would punch up Randy and hand him the phone and here you go.
That's exactly right. Sometimes I'll be going, what are you trying to do to me, man? He's right in the middle of the day, you know, he's like, just out of the blue. He didn't warn me. He's just like, hey, Randy, I got somebody in my office here. And he hands him the phone. I'm going like, so what can you do, right? I mean, what could you do? But so anyway, it was so funny. And, you know, we met one of the people I'm talking about, I think it was a restaurant where Janet Folger. Remember Janet Folger? She's the one.
Yeah.
That connection through you, that to show you how things get connected, Ken had her in the restaurant. I don't know who all was there, but she was one of the ones I prophesied to, you know, many times. And that door opened up. She was very much into politics. She was kind of a radio interviewer, pretty well known, I think, in her area.
Sure.
And so she invited me to come do a meeting where Mike Huckabee was there, which I didn't know who Mike Huckabee was at the time. Remember all that? And she invited me to come and you know, there were seven people. Sam Brownback was there, a U.S. congressman, or I think, wasn't India congressman or senator? Yes, Sam Brownback was there. And there were about seven people that she had gotten together, and they had major television. What I remember is they had some pretty major television people there. And I don't remember all of who they were, but that was – my job was to – and this is all Ken's fault. My job, she had asked me to come and pick out who would be the next – possibly be the next David over the United States of America, over America. That's what she asked me to do. I don't know if you knew that or not, but she asked me, she said, can you come? And these people are going to interview these people. They're going to be in Florida at this special place, this beautiful place. Can you come and sit in the audience and tell and let God show you which one of these men is going to be the next David chosen for our nation? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah, I can. So I went, and I'm sitting there next to your brother. As you know, your brother probably told you about this. I think you had to say keep the court. I think you were at that meeting. And so your brother was sitting there, and he'll tell you this is the truth. Your brother was sitting there, and right before the thing ended, I was supposed to tell them which one the next David for the United States. That's what Janet asked me to be there for, and she set up the meeting, so I kind of had to do that, you know. I said, Lord, what's going on? And he showed me which one it was. Well, Bo's sitting there. The meeting's about to end, right? And he's poking me in the ribs, saying, "Randy, which one is it? Which one is it? We got to find out so we can pour oil on their head. We're going to pour oil on their head." I'm going, dude, it's that guy right there down there on the far left hand side. And he said, "You mean Huckabee?" I went, "Yeah, that's whatever his name is. I never heard of him. I never seen him in my life." I said, "That's the one that God has chosen." So right now, you know, even though he hasn't become president yet, he's actually been shepherding the nation right now through TBN. He did it through Fox News for a while, and now he's kind of doing it through TBN, if you guys know who I'm talking about at TBN. But Ken Chen was responsible for all that, all because of him, because he's the one who's sitting in a restaurant one day. And I remember where I was at. I was actually walking around with my wife. That's one of those times she said, "Who is it?" I said, "I don't know. I feel like it's important." So I took the call anyway, and I'm ministering to her, prophesying to her. And that all happened because Ken, in his craziness, calls me up out of nowhere and says, "Hey, Randy, I got somebody in the restaurant here." Hey. And I'm just start prophesying to this lady. And that's how we started doing this by phone. So I'm just telling you this so you can blame Ken for this. It's all his fault.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit knows all things, Randy. And you and I have had this conversation. So, and, you know, the Holy Spirit knows all things. And if the Holy Spirit knows all things and we're in tune to the Holy Spirit, why do we have to see somebody like you're doing now? I mean, we don't even know who these people are that are listening to us, but The Holy Spirit knows right. all things. And you've shared that with me many times. And I think there's just levels of that, that as you grow into it and as you've grown into it, that you begin to see. And I know one minister who's prophetic, and in the infancy of his gift, prophetic gift, he shared with me, he said, I had to hold their hand to prophesy to them.
Right, right.
And he said that yeah. went on for a short period of time, but he said I had to have a physical touch with them, and the Spirit of God would speak through me to them. Then he said,
right.
after a period of time, I didn't have to touch them. I could stand on the podium, the platform, and I could tell them to stand up and do that. And so he began to move further and further into that, and you've just taken it another step forward, and
right,
now
right.
you're ministering to people sight unseen, you don't know.
All the time, yeah. And that all happened because, you know, I mean, I'd never thought about prophesying to people by phone before. You did that. You were going like, I don't know what you were thinking. I don't know what was going through that brain of yours. You know, something.
Why not?
And he said, I think I'm going to call Randy.
Why not?
So your why not turned into a, exactly.
What you're doing now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
your why not did that. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's really pure. I mean, when you minister to people here, wherever they're at, and it's just like, you know, the first time when I drove in there, you know, there's a purity to that. It's there's no carnal knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you
right.
okay, you know, someone
right.
walks into a meeting and they have a suit and a tie on, and you know, maybe they got a diamond ring and some gold or what, you know, whatever. You know, you can kind of okay, this guy here is influential. You know, maybe
get
he's somebody, and you know, you know. Or, you know, take it to the
sure.
other extreme. You know, someone comes in and, you know, there's that, you know, man sees it on the outside. God looks at the heart. And so that whole thing. But, you know, going back again, I think the Spirit
really
knows
nice.
All things. And
right.
we don't need that carnal knowledge. And, you know, you're a living example of that.
Right. And I've had prophets tell me, you know, how do you do that? I mean, I can see praying for people, you know, without seeing them, but you prophesy to them like we all do in meetings. We all do it in meetings, right? At least we used to.
Yeah, sure.
And a lot of people still do. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. And you're and Ken's not saying anything wrong with that. I know him. He's not saying anything wrong
right.
with it. We you know, yeah,
no.
not at all.
Right.
So but you're just saying that you're saying we take it from level to level, and that's really awesome.
Yeah, I think there's just a, you know, there's a whole other level to it. You know, if we're walking with God and, you know, the Spirit of God is indeed with us and dwelling in us, and the Bible says he knows all things, you know.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah,
what a beautiful thing. And how God used you to do that. I would have never thought about that. And then my other friend who led worship for Benny Hinn Ministries for years at his Dallas office. I used to have to drive him because he was legally blind. He's an albino, beautiful person, beautiful worship, very talented. And I used to have to drive him every week and, to Benny Hinn Ministries. And so that's how I got to know Benny Hinn Ministries a little bit. I never got to know Benny, but I knew his staff and I knew his main pastors and those kind of people. And so, in getting to know him, he saw what I like to do. He saw that I love to minister to people. So he's the one that turned me on to the switchboard, you know, with Blog Talk Radio. He's the one. He said, Randy, I know what you like to do. You love to prophesy to people. He said, he turned me on to that. So you turned me on to prophesying by phone. Then he almost forced me. I said, I'm not going to get on that stupid, cheap piece of crap. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get on that stuff. That's for, like, people ain't got nothing. He said, Randy, no, you don't understand. So one day, Ken, my friend, who's now past my friend, he sets up an account, right? He's not going to use it, but he sets it up for me. He sets it up, opens it up, and then he calls me on the phone, and I said, hey, what are you doing calling me? He said, Randy, this is that thing I'm telling you about. You know, we're talking to each other, and you can talk to people all over the United States and the world. He said, come. So he said, come back in the office. So I went back in the office, and I looked at it, and I went, oh, my Lord and my God. You mean you just click on from phone to phone, from caller to caller, and you can just talk to people from all over the globe? He said, that's it. I said, dude, I apologize. You've been trying to get me to do this for weeks and months maybe, and I've just been telling you I ain't going to do that stuff. Look how ignorant I was. And how God used somebody like Ken Chen's a pusher. He was a pusher too. He said, no, he just kept pushing me. So you two stubborn people of the Holy Ghost came together, how God put something together. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. Iron sharpens iron.
Well, I give him the credit for that. Give you the credit and God the glory. And that's the way we need to do it. We need to start giving people the credit for when God uses them. Don't ever neglect to go back and thank them for what they did for you, you know, and give God the glory for it, but give them the credit because God used them. When we start giving people the credit, not the glory, we give the glory to God. When we give the person the credit, that's which is what I'm doing again tonight with Ken, and he didn't ask me to, you know, and my friend Brian. I gave him the credit for that, but gave God the glory because God was putting something together. And friend, this is the way it is, you know. And we need to give people the credit for how God used them, so that they'll want to do it for somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else, and give God the glory always. But give God, give them the credit for how God used them, how they laid their life down, and how Ken worked so hard and what he was doing, and stubborn and pushing through, and you know, come on, Randy, you know, get on the phone. I got somebody here, and you need to pray. And I'm like going, what? Just get on I'm going to hand the phone to somebody you're going to pray for. And I'm going like, I'm going to do what? Yeah, and so I just happened to, by the grace of God, fall for that little trap where the Lord trapped me. He was trying to trap me. The Lord was trying to trap me to train me.
Yeah.
And thank God I fell for it. And with my other friend, I fell for that too. And, you know, when we fall for what God's doing, brother, it ends up being a blessing. We need to give people the credit for what they do in our lives, whether it's your mama, you know, your pastor, Ken, you know, my friends, whoever they are. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. It is. It was just a beautiful, beautiful time. And, you know, with all of the churches that we went to in the area and all of the meetings that we did outside of the churches, using buildings and it touched a lot of people's lives, so you know it's powerful.
Well, Ken was so bold. One of my prophet friends said, when you go into a city, Randy, if you remember this, Ken, I told you, said I was kind of submitted to them to a certain degree. They were well-known prophets, but they used to be really well-known. And this one person, anyway, and so. They told me, they said, when you go into a city, try to go to the pastors first. And so I told Ken, I said, hey, Ken, this prophet friend of mine said, we should go to the leadership first and in a city. And even though he lived there, what does Ken do? Ken, now he don't play around with that. What does he do? He starts lining up pastors. He's okay, Randy, I got some pastors lined up. I'm going, you did what? He said, I got some pastors lined up. I mean, pastors from, I don't remember all the different denominations and ministries, but he said, I got them set up. When can you show up here? And we went, and he drugged me from one place to the next. And I went in there, and we sat down with those pastors and just would sit down and just start, well, just like we do here, sit down and say, well, I'd like to pray for you now. And I'd just start prophesying to them or whatever. And, right? I mean, we did that. You did that.
Amen. Yeah. 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 We did it together. Yeah, you know, God was able to touch a lot of ministers' lives through that, and they knew when we walked out of the door that, you know, there was a couple of men of God that just visited me. The Spirit of God spoke to them.
Wow. Yeah, you know, that one guy, I don't want to say any names or anything, but the one pastor, you knew the pastor pretty well.
I
think your family
knew.
Who
you're talking about.
Okay, you know where I'm going with that. We walk in there, and we sit in there in his office, and all of a sudden I start getting this word. I don't remember what it was, but it was like somebody had messed somebody around or something in the money realm. Or I don't remember. You might help me remember what that was. And it kind of, I didn't know that the pastor was doing it. I didn't know that the guy sitting in front of me had been doing that stuff. Right. I didn't know that. You knew it, but I didn't know it. And so I ministered to him and he kind of flustered. I couldn't figure out why he was so flustered. Why is he so flustered? Why is he turning red and twitching and stuff? I didn't have a clue. I had to say, I didn't know, but I'm giving him this word, right? We walk out of there and Ken poking me in the ribs and, man, you're not going to believe what you just said, man. You're not going to believe what you just said. That was so right on. That was so, because that's exactly what that guy did. I go, what? And he told me the story and it blew my mind. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah. You're telling
the
truth.
I mean, am I exaggerating at all?
Yeah. No. I think I even said this. I think God didn't let him really get the full impact until we left. Because if he had got the full load while we were still there, he'd have been fighting us.
Yeah.
We'd have had a throwdown.
He kind of looked like he was getting ready to fight.
Let's get out of here, you know. Whoa, this is heavy. And it was so beautiful, though. You know, God was giving him a chance to repent privately.
Wow.
Not publicly, not exposing this man again, but God was giving him an opportunity to repent privately. And
wow.
Yeah, it was precious.
So, and what happened? I mean, what happened to that guy later? I mean, I can't remember if you told me. We ministered to so many people, so many pastors, I can't remember. You know, what happened to that guy? Anything? I don't remember.
Yeah, it was not good.
Didn't he get exposed or something? Didn't they expose him or somebody expose him or something? Or did he expose himself or whatever?
Yeah, it came to light. And, you know, the ministry blew up and the church changed hands. And it was bad. It was bad all the way around, you know.
Not a happy story.
No, it's not, no.
And because you knew that I did not know, have a clue. I didn't have a clue who he was, but you did. And so when I was coming forth, you knew that God was trying to be merciful to him.
Yeah. God was, you know, what's the scripture in Romans about? You know, God is, you know, God's, that's on the tip of my tongue, but, you know, God was just laying it out before and, you know, hey, man, you know, you've gotten off track here. You've done some things you shouldn't have done. It's all been, nobody knows, you know, we only knew it by the Spirit. Only a couple of people knew. And, you know, let's repent. Let's come make a clean break. Let's leave that sin behind. Let's not toy with it anymore and move forward and be holy. Be holy, be
separate.
To get him
to stop him before
judgment.
Be holy,
He didn't. So, it was tragic. We're all human, and, I have failed, and everybody's failed. But when you up on a leadership role, when you're, you know, when people are looking to you in that situation, and if you're a pastor, you're responsible as a shepherd of that flock. And there's a greater accountability. And, it hurts a lot of people when they fall. And everybody has seen it, not just, you know, we could name names all night long for the rest of the show. But, you know, it's heartbreaking, and it hurts people. Some people don't recover, you know. They don't, you know, go back and, you know, they get mad at God or whatever. It's not a good situation. So,
I
remember another story, too. It was a worldwide ministry we went to one time, and I'm thinking, you know, Chandler, what the heck are you doing? You got a map with you. You know where I'm going?
Oh, a map.
You had this map.
Yeah.
And we get out of the car, and you left the map in the car, and you took a few steps, and, you know, I'm taking the map in. We went back, and you got the map out, and And you went in there and you rolled the map out after we administered to some people for a while. Maybe you administered to them for 30 minutes or so. And remember, you rolled it out on that desk and you put your finger on a spot on the map. Now, I can't even remember the name of the place. But their eyes got so bug-eyed. And they were doing it was undercover work for the Lord. Their lives were being, you know, if they were
threatened,
caught in any way at all, there was probably a certain death sentence for them. They would have been executed by the government in which they were working. And you told them, you know, what was going on there and all this. And nobody knew. I mean, and we were dealing with the top people at the leadership. And
the top people,
was one of the things. Yeah, I remembered. And I think even the head guy even came in later, and we walked over to his office, if you remember. Do you remember that?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
because
so
when we, you know, you just to show you how Ken does things and how God uses him in such a way that when he first called that ministry, and that ministry, like you said, is worldwide. We're a worldwide ministry. If we told you, we can't tell them the name of it, or you think we should or shouldn't, or it doesn't matter.
I wouldn't say, because they
okay, we don't have to.
And
we might expose something exactly, and we're not going to give details on anything. But
they got
the same
stuff
time.
Still going
okay,
on
here's what happened. So Ken calls them up, and they said, "Nah, we're not into that stuff," or something like that. I think that's kind of what you told me. We're not really into that kind of thing. And so you think Ken gives up? No, he's a stubborn donkey I've ever seen in my life. For the Lord, and he keeps calling them back until they finally just gave in, bless their little heart. So we finally get in there, and they take us to this one little place, and they're we found out later, I think, correct me if I say any of this exaggerated or anything, they take us down this little area, and what we understood later was that they were testing me to see if testing us to see whether I was hearing from God or not, right? Okay. So we get down in there, and the Holy Ghost starts speaking about their business. I mean, their business, the main thing, some things that were going on the inside, that there were some things that they were struggling with. I don't remember exactly what the deal was, but they from that time on, I mean, God had their attention through these two little boys that came in there and weren't nobodies really. And God started speaking to them, and then we start, you know, ministering to them individually. And one night, the same meeting you're talking about where we took the map in, I think one of the ladies that was in that particular meeting of the high levels where they had secret things going on in nations that if they found out they were there, they'd kill them. But I think one of them just happened to be in that meeting, and I started prophesying over her. You might help me remember this exactly, but I mean, when we got through, this lady was right. She was one of the ones that had been sent, I think, if I remember correctly. And she had just gotten back from there, and it was very serious stuff going on. And God just read that girl's mail. And, you know, I mean, it's amazing, man, how God just, you know, was trying to help. That was a worldwide ministry. And God, and through the stubbornness of Ken, of him being so persistent, and if it had been me, I'd have said, "Oh yeah, I understand. I don't like prophets either, as I am one. I understand. Okay, bye." But not Ken. No, are you kidding me? That when you say no to him, it's like saying stick him to a bulldog. And I am serious. It's like if he feels like the Lord's in it. And so because of that, we went back how many times? I don't know how many times. And prophesied to I don't know how many. They would line them up or not line them up. You might help me with that. Make it clear, but.
Yeah, we would prophesy to a whole room full, and then they would leave, and another group would come in behind them.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's exactly what happened.
They had that big. I remember that big couch against the wall that they were, you know, five or six could sit on. Then they had some chairs on the sides of it, and cool stuff.
Kind of a sunken in area. Yeah, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
Yeah,
and this went on and on and on. We went back. How many times did we go back there? Several times. We went to their – I remember we went into their the media part of it, I think they were just trying to see if we'd pick up stuff there. I don't know exactly. I can't remember the details, but yeah, it's amazing. Amazing. And this is, like I say, this is a worldwide known ministry. If we told you the name, you'd know. In fact, they mentioned this ministry on TV a couple, they mentioned this ministry a few nights ago with some prophet. Who was that? It was on Daystar or TBN. I think it was TBN. And they were talking about that, and they mentioned the guy's name who ran it. And then they mentioned the name of the ministry that we're talking about, that we were actually in his place. You know, this is, like I said, so just to show you how God uses people, you know, if Ken hadn't done that, I'd have never been in any of those places and God doing stuff. I'd have never talked to any of those pastors. I'd have never been in East Texas. We'd have never done any of that stuff, and I wouldn't be doing Blog Talk and TGN. That's how God uses people in your life to help open up doors for you. And so it's just amazing, man. But that was an amazing time with that ministry. That was, I don't remember how many times we went back, but they invited us back several times. It was amazing.
Yeah, they did, yeah. Well, we gained, you know, their trust. You know, in the beginning, it was very suspicious. You know, what are these guys coming in, you know, and who are they? Who do they think they are? But, you know, through your prophetic gift that God's gifted you with and reading their mail, you know, people say, hey, this guy's for real. You know, just like I did the first time I, you know, met you, you know, I knew, hey, this guy's for real. He's not playing.
Right. And I remember that what was so cool about it, how God did it, he went right for the juggler with those guys in that ministry. Because he started talking, the Lord started talking about what was going on in the main part of the business part of their ministry. Some changes, and I don't remember what it was, but the Lord just said, there's some changes going on, and God, I'm going to be, and he just went on and on and on. It happened at Christ for the Nations, too. I was going to Christ for the Nations, and the same thing happened. That's what God does. It's kind of the same. I never even thought about it till tonight, but the same pattern of when you go into a large ministry or business or whatever, God goes right into the secret places of their business dealings, which nobody knows about that, so they will know it's from God. And nobody knew about that stuff. It was very private, very secret. And then with Christ for the Nations, the same thing happened there, too. I've never talked about that much, but the same, very same thing happened. And pretty soon, I was trying to go to school, right? Pretty soon, I couldn't even go to class because people were stopping me on the way. And, you know, bless their heart, they were wanting to be ministered to because the word started getting around. And so God had me telling Christ for the Nations, the leadership people, what was going on in their meetings. And they knew, nobody knew about that. And that just shows you how God has a pattern of going right for the juggler on some stuff, you know, just to open up a door. It's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, it just, it's like the Bible says, your gift will make room for you. You know, the gift that you have and authenticity, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a worldwide ministry or if it's a pastor in the privacy of his own office that needs to repent of some sin, or whether it's a man of God who's trying to decide whether he needs to start a church or not. You know, Lord, give me a word, God. Here we go. You know, God knows the secrets of our hearts, and he knows how to get a word to us when he wants to. And sometimes it does take, a stubbornness. You have to fight. You have to push through. I hate religion. I hate churchianity. I love God. I love the beauty of the Lord and the gifts of the Spirit and their pure use to glorify God and to draw men close to Him. I'd like to think what we did was just really holy unto the Lord, and it was just really special, and I appreciate being a part of it with you. It was allowed me to grow and drew me closer to the Lord.
You
and you know,
me too, bro.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
It was some really cool stuff, and it's really amazing how God does all that. You know, when you're just, you know, a nobody. I mean, I'm a nobody. You know, we're both nobodies. I mean, we're somebody to some people, but But as far as globally, I mean, when if I could tell the details of some things that have even happened just recently with people that we've dealt with on a, because our ministry's not really big, but we've dealt with, as Ken is kind of, you know, I didn't know he was going to talk about this stuff tonight, right? I mean, I did not know we were talking about this stuff. I'm glad we are, because this is kind of like we're probably going to spend the whole show, I guess, talking about this, and as long as Ken has breath to stand with me. I don't know. This is what it looks like. This is not planned. I planned on getting off the show about 10:30 at least, and then do what I always do. But, you know, sometimes we have to stop everything, and I think this is going to be documented, Ken, that what you're doing is some of what you're doing, you're helping me do, is confirm some things that I've told people, some stories I've told them, and I couldn't tell them, some of them, for different reasons, but we brought it. You helped me bring that out tonight and confirm that I was not pulling somebody. I'm not just saying this stuff. This stuff actually happened, and a lot more. And so, just to show you how God uses human beings who don't give up, who don't quit. You know, we may want to, you may quit for a little bit, but you just saying, I'm not going to quit. Why am I doing trying to quit? I'm coming back. I'm going to serve God. This is for everyday people that just like me, who are just like not known by anybody, not known by anything. And I just thought I'm going to serve God. I've been through some hell myself. I've been through some hell, just like all you guys have been through hell, like Ken's been through hell on some things. And you know what? I just decided that Jesus was real. And who else do I have to serve, Lord? You know, eat my flesh, drink my blood. They all walked away from him, but he said, what are you guys going to do? Lord, who else has life like you do? That's kind of what Ken has done and what I've done and what you guys have done. Who else has life for us? Nobody but Jesus. And so we cling to him. And because we do, I could tell you a story right now with names of people that you know, and Ken doesn't even know about some of this stuff, that just happened just a few months ago, recently, of things where people in large world global leadership roles decided that they were going to listen to some wrong information about me. And they went about trying to, you know, take me down, literally. I mean, literally. And they spent money doing it. They had, if I told you all the people involved in it, it sounds crazy. But now, maybe since Ken has kind of confirmed some of these other things we talked about, maybe you'll believe this, that person who did that is no longer with us. And it was not my wish for that to happen. I never dreamed that would happen. And I mean, just out of the blue, within 1 minute, boom, they were gone. Because when you know, God is merciful and God is gracious, and that person went to heaven. That person went to God because somebody lied to them. Somebody told them some half truths. They had a zeal for the Lord, and they wanted to straighten me out and straighten it out, and they were wrong in what they did. And this was global, y'all. This is a global situation, just like with Ken, when Ken set up that thing with that ministry, Worldwide Ministry. And how God, you know, did all those things and shed things and just did things that we didn't know what's going on. You know, God was just doing something. And so when this stuff, and I've got situations that I can't even, I could talk about a lot more things. But friend, when God gets ready to raise you, sometimes some of the things that happen, like with that pastor, are not good, Ken. Sometimes they don't turn out very well. And sometimes they turn out amazing. You never know. And you have nothing to do with what goes on. Because just like all that stuff, I didn't have a clue about any of that. I don't know anything about anything about anybody. And God Almighty was trying to show himself.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, just in those two instances, we talked about how one pastor took the word and built a beautiful, strong, thriving, serving church. And the other didn't take the word. You know, so... Again, it goes back to, you know, we have a part to go play in it too. And, you know, one chose to took the, you know, the narrow road that leads to life and the other didn't.
Right. Wow. I had to put all that together. That's pretty amazing. that's really interesting because go ahead.
And what you're saying too about confirmation is, I'm glad to confirm some of the Bible does say, let everything be confirmed by two or three witnesses. I was there.
Right.
When we saw.
Yeah, and we did it. And the thing is that we did that together. That was a God thing, that God was involved. You pioneered it, and I just kind of hung around you, in a sense. And it's amazing how God puts a team together. I mean, you never know who's going to do what and what's going to happen. And you know what? Who's going to get the credit for that? Ken Shin is. Ken Shin's going to get the credit because he's the one who did the work and the labor. Yeah, I went in there on top of it and did my thing, but God used him to pioneer that whole thing. So it's just amazing how God uses people, man. Anyway, I'm getting carried away now.
Yeah. Well, that's all good. Yeah, it's all good stuff, man. Good memories and. Just God stories, man. Just God stories. Well, like you said, we'd go on and on about all this. But I'm gonna let you.
Okay.
I guess prophesy to your group here, or is there something else in your spirit you wanna?
I really don't
go
know.
Down the path.
I want to mention one last thing about healing. You remember that night that lady, she was a redheaded lady. She sang on TBN, and she had a leg that was like an inch, 3/4 of an inch shorter than the other one. And you got down there and prayed for her. You remember watching her leg grow? Do you remember that?
Yeah, we did that outside the church. That was at one of the other buildings we used. That wasn't in a church building, right?
Right, you rented one of those a city building or something, and showed up there.
Yeah, community center.
Yeah, I remember what that building was, but yeah. And so, it wasn't just prophetic things. I mean, God used Ken and myself when we prayed for people. It was more prophetic than anything. But I mean, that was amazing. I remember watching her as you lifted her legs up there and started praying for her. Man, her leg just like. It just grew right in front of everybody. It was amazing.
Amen. Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, we saw.
Yeah.
I think we saw that on several occasions.
Yeah, we did.
There was kind of a period
where,
that was. It happened once, and it seemed like it happened 4 or 5 times, with different people over a period of a month, maybe, if I'm recalling it right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I do remember it several times, yeah. But it goes to show you that though the prophetic realm is what's the main thing, that God can get in there and all of a sudden, I mean, people just started, I don't remember all the people that were healed and what they were healed of exactly, but I mean, we watched it happen right in front of us right there, and we weren't having healing services. it was like God just started doing it, Yeah, it's really amazing. So we give God the glory for all that, of course. But it took people who were tenacious and were like bulldogs, like Ken. My nature is not – I'm a bulldog in one sense, but not like him. I mean, he will bulldog you. You just don't want to tell Ken Shin, no, that's all I can tell you. Hey, Randy, I got some in here. I want you to pray for him. Wait. And before I could even say no or anything, he don't care. He's handing him the phone. That was hilarious, man. And
that,
I remember
that,
thinking.
That precious. Yeah.
Yeah,
that
was
some heavy-duty stuff, man. Really cool.
Yeah,
we got
somebody else saying
like
here that their son has COVID. Go ahead.
Well, the purity of all that, just doing it over the phone and seeing these people's reaction. And, the last thing they expected when they were wanting to have a visit with me was anything like that, going down that path. But it spoke to their precise predicament, precise thing that was right in front of them that they were needing to confront and needed to have a a word from God in order to move forward and to handle it in the right direction. And, you know, that was on you. God used you to speak that specific word to them.
Mouth, but yeah.
Amen.
I'm not saying I didn't have anything to do with it. You know, I was just like you, but it's amazing how God formed something, put it together. And then, you know, God used what I did for God, and God used what Ken did for God. And yet, you know, healing went on, different things went on. But, you know, yeah, one of the things that, let's see, we got somebody here that's saying their son has COVID, wants us to pray for his name, Austin. This is Cheryl from Florida. Her son Austin has COVID. So you want to pray for Austin there, my brother?
Yeah, sure. God, we just lift up Austin to you, God. And, Lord, just a surge through him, God. We know that there's resurrection power, God, that there's life-giving power, that, Lord, just the touch where we stretch out to touch the hem of your garment, God, that you know that we're tapping into the healing powers. We shared the testimonies, God. Let your glory fall upon Austin, Lord. Let him be, God, just anointed. Raise him up, God. Raise him up, God. Touch the crown of his head even now, God. Lord, and let the breath of life come into him. God, just as you breathed into Adam, the breath of life.
Yeah.
God, just breathe into him. You speak life into him, God. Amen. Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your blood, the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that precious blood over your people tonight, Lord. We thank you for this meeting tonight, God. I did not plan it. We may still talk to some people, but, you know, I didn't plan on it going this long. Honestly, I was going to go about 10 o'clock and then 10:30, and then now it is 11:30. And thank you, Jesus, for what you've done tonight, Lord. I thank you for this kind of like Bible school. It's kind of like training. It's kind of like people hearing how, you know, this ministry got going and how we've touched people globally. I mean, God has touched people, you know, that have global ministries. And, you know, to show you how God can do that and the echo of God's praises that go up. When those people started talking, when we left those meetings that Ken had set up with those people with that one ministry, that worldwide ministry, you know, the praises that went up to God when we left there, it's like they were going like, oh, my God, because they kept inviting us back. They called Ken up and say, Ken, you know, can y'all come back again? And we would go back. And the praises to God that were going up to God, because God used two little guys who didn't know what the heck they were doing, you know, just flowing in the gift that God gave us and ministering to people and loving Jesus and just lifting up the Lord and, you know, and God reading people's mail and just letting them know that he loved them. Friend, it's amazing. It's amazing how God can use you. Do not give up on God using you. Just like with Ken. Ken just went through this thing with COVID. I mean, this thing was, I mean, he was supposed to be dead, according to all the doctors and according to everybody else that came in the hospital. He was supposed to be dead that night or the next day, very soon afterwards. Because the diagnosis that he had, they had been diagnosing patients one after the other, hundreds of them. They'd been gone for, COVID had been going on for like 2 years, right? Something like that. When you guys went in there with it? Yeah, about 2 years. And so they dealt with a lot of people. They knew when they saw one and the diagnosis and the x-rays or however they get it, they go, yeah, this one here, they all, you know, 99% of them, however he was, dead. So this is going to be dead too. Let's just get him to sign off on it. Sign off his death warrant, which you didn't do. I think that is so funny. Mm-hmm. I ain't signing that piece of trash. I'm not going to sign that thing. Ventilator? Everybody else make it. Yep. I don't want no ventilator. Don't put no ventilator on me. 12%. I know numbers pretty well because I'm a numbers guy.
Yeah, get behind me, Satan. I ain't doing that.
That's right.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah,
you know, that is really a critical thing. people should look into that, you know, because, you know, there may be another wave and another spark of it, and apparently there is an uptick coming around, but, you know, it's a, when your life's on the line, baby, you know, it's a, you need to have some conviction, and I, you know, I really credit, too. I mean, thank God. I would tell all your listeners, get the word of God in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, where you just overflow. And, you know, because when you need it, you know, it's not, there's no time to study the Bible. It's on. The battle's on, you know, whatever that may be in your life. It may not be COVID. It may be, you know, cancer. It may be something else. But, you know, you'll know on its own. you'll know. That's how you fight. The prayer, the prevailing prayer, desperate prayer, you know, the word, the spirit, it all works together, baby. It all works together. You know?
Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's I guess I'm gonna kind of move on here a little bit. I may prophesy a little. I don't know exactly what's gonna happen. I have nothing planned. You know, y'all know me. Everybody knows me pretty well. That how God uses us here, and you know, whatever way, you never know what's gonna get. It's like a box of chocolates when you tune into BGN. You never know what you're gonna get. We could talk about COVID all night long, raising people from the dead, you know, whatever, and testimony. You never know. So thank God for that. And I give God the glory for tonight's show. I did not know it was going to go this long like this. This is awesome. This has been a real blessing. So I'm going to mute you. You got anything you want to say? Because if you want his, he's got a powerful book with all the details, and it is well written. And I wept when I read it. I wept when I read it today. You know, I was reading that part about your daughter, and you know, I was like getting weepy on that one. It's like, wow. So it's a conquering testimony about somebody who just chose that if there was anything at all that God could have mercy and not let me die, that I'm going to get that. Whatever that is, I'm going to get it, and I'm not going to let go until I got it. And that's what he did, and he prevailed, like that word that pastor gave, that he prevailed and God gets the glory. And so hallelujah. Anyway, if you want that book, I'll get it to you. I will send it to you. And so there you go. All right, you got anything you want to say, Ken, pray and prophesy? I'm not sure exactly.
I just want to say, man, what a blessing it is to visit with you and your listeners tonight. This is, you know, we don't plan anything. We didn't plan anything. But, man, I just feel an anointing on what we've done and shared, and it's just brought joy. And a refreshing, you know, I feel like just really quickened by the Holy Spirit from the whole thing. I thought we'd go, you know, 30 or 45 minutes and I'd be signing off.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
You know, I put in a full day, and I actually laid down about 7:30 and said, man, my wife was saying, are you up for this? But as soon as we got on and started talking about the things of the Lord, just that quickening of the spirit and God coming on. And anyway, thank you. God bless your listeners. I appreciate you. Love you, man. And
All right.
Well, see you soon.
All right. All right. We're going to meet you, and then I'm gonna pray and prophesy for a little bit here. And Lord, I just pray over Ken tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for the crushing you've done in his life, God. That you know, like Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he needed an anointing that he had not had. And Jesus was very anointed before the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means a crushing, the olives crushed, the olive press. Gethsemane is the olive press. And when Jesus came through that particular press, it wasn't just him going around doing miracles and signs and wonders anymore. And a struggling crew that he had with him who couldn't even cast out a devil hardly, and his fathers would complain and say, how come your disciples can't cast out devils? And he said, well, you know, he just kind of embarrassed, like, Jesus knew that they'd do it later. Jesus knew that after he was crushed and went through his Gethsemane, that then they would all be anointed by the Holy Ghost, and they wouldn't be any, you know, why can't you cast that devil out of me? Like, you know, like did when they come tell Jesus, you know, your disciples prayed for my daughter and nothing happened. You know, and all they did was shout, holler for a while, and nothing happened. Lord, I thank you for this breaking in kin, this broken bread, the olives. He's been bearing fruit in different ways, all of his serving God, worshiping Jesus, and growing the fruit in his life, God, the fruit of grace, the fruit of love, the fruit of dedicating his life to you, Jesus. And he grew some beautiful fruit, some olives that are just beautiful. But you know what? Those olives are just being beautiful, mean nothing until they're crushed. And Jesus at Gethsemane, through the death, burial, and resurrection, that death, that the pressure that was going on with you, Kent, and that place, the pressure that God, you know, Jesus was drawn into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Holy Spirit drew him. I think the Holy Spirit drew you into that place. And what Satan meant for evil, like with Joseph, God meant it for good. The whole thing was meant for your good. And you're going to see that you are, I'm sure you already see that already, but you're going to really see that in a way. You're going to get revelation on that in ways you've never seen, that had God not brought you through that death, you wouldn't have the new life that's in you to pray for the sick, to connect people around the globe, to cause that business anointing in you to tap into finances, whether it's praying for people that are in business or business yourself or whatever the thing is, that business anointing, God, to pray over business, because we need money to preach the gospel, to minister the gospel, to get on TV, to have TV stations and do all the things we're going to do, which PGN is, you know, believing God for that. You know, we thank you, Lord, that when he prays for people, that oil that was crushed out of the fruit that came from his, when the fruit that is born by your own life in Christ, when that fruit is crushed. Now, somebody else's fruit crushed, that's a whole different thing. But when your fruit was crushed, when your olives were smashed in that pressure, in that death trap, what that really was, it was called the Garden of Gethsemane. It was called the wine press. And God was pressing down through the spirit of death, so that life could come out of you that you didn't even know was in there. Hallelujah. And the oil that came out of Jesus at Gethsemane, hallelujah, brought an open door on the day of Pentecost so that the oil of the Holy Spirit could come upon each one of them. And they went from poor, weak, beggarly Christians trying to believe God for something to happen, hallelujah, and just flopping around like fish out of water, to a place of anointed by this new oil represented by the Holy Spirit coming upon them and anointing them. I thank you, Lord, for a fresh oil and anointing upon my brother for the end time, for the last days. It's called the last days anointing. Hallelujah. To bring people through the days of sorrow and trouble and misery and pain and death, to the brink of death. And then God raises them up. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost came that oil represented by when the Holy Spirit came. Well, how was that oil able to come on them? It's because Jesus was crushed at the Garden of Gethsemane, the wine press, the oil press. Hallelujah. It crushed him in Jesus' name. And that oil came out, which represented the day the Holy Spirit. I've never talked about this. I've never seen this until tonight, right now, this very second, as I'm prophesying over you, bro. And that oil that came out of Jesus represented when the oil came out of heaven. And Jesus said, this oil that got pressed out of me in the garden when I was suffering, that I asked you guys to stay awake, and you couldn't even stay awake, that oil that got pressed out of me, crushed out of me, whipped out of me, beaten out of me, he said, all that oil is going to come on you in 50 days. Hallelujah. And did it come. Brother, it's called the day that the oil, of the Holy Ghost was poured out on the disciples. It was that oil, and it was not even able to happen had it not been for the crushing of his oil, of his fruit, in Jesus' name, that brought that Holy Spirit oil upon them, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Where they can walk in power and authority, like you're going to walk in power, a new authority, in the name of Jesus, because that oil that was crushed out of your fruit is going to come upon others, just like Jesus' oil, when it was crushed, and the Holy Spirit came, you're going to release the Holy Spirit on people, bro. Hallelujah. And they're going to be raised from the dead in all fashions, in all forms. There's going to be like a fashion show. They're going to have like a fashion. You have to imagine this big, huge fashion show with all these different clothing, with these women coming out with these beautiful garments, and these men coming out with these amazing tuxedos and different clothing. And yet this is going to be the different clothings of death. Hallelujah. Yeah. And they came walking out, showing this garment that get got on. Everybody's going, ooh and ah, look at that. Look at the design on that thing. Look at the beauty of that. And it was all there. But because it is showing how all the different levels of death that Jesus conquered and robed people with a new robe for them to glorify God with in Jesus' name. Because God said, it's all about glorifying me. Hallelujah. I'll give you the credit, and I get all the glory. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, that oil come upon him, God, that he can anoint other people, that he can be used by God to pour the oil, like the prophet poured oil on David, like the prophet poured oil on men and women, and the oil of God anointed them. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, to change their lives. Thank you, Lord, for that new oil on my brother tonight, in the name of Jesus. It's a weeping, laughing oil. It's a weeping, weep, 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 for tomorrow you're going to reap joy. Weep, 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 for tomorrow you're going to reap joy. Death, 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 and then comes resurrection. Hallelujah. He's going to put a new garment. Jesus left his garment. He left his garment, that prayer cloth, that death cloth that was on him. He just kind of came out of it like a cocoon and got a whole new robe. Hallelujah. That he's strutting around glory going, my God, look at what God, look at what my Father has done for me. As you think, the same thing with Ken. Same thing with Ken. God, I thank you, Lord, for that anointing. They're robing him with a new robe like you did. Who was it? Not Samuel. It was Joshua who got the new robe. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Robing him. Amen. To clothe people with righteousness, to clothe people with miracle-working power from the oil that's been crushed out of the own fruit of his labor and with you, his labor with you, God. He labored with you. He wrestled with you. He labored with you. And when you labor with God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Out of that labor comes reward and fruit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus said, when I labor, when my Father labors, I labor. Hallelujah. Lord, I loosen to my brother, God, that when he labors, it's because the Father's laboring. He's not laboring on his own. When the Holy Spirit came on them and that oil came on them and clothed them with new clothing, that they were strutting around all the time going, just like a show where they showing off all these new clothing. Hallelujah. That people are going to strut around going, look at what God did for me. I was in a Ken Chin meeting. Ken Chin prayed for me. You know, like the oil that clothed me with this new robe. I was dying. I had death clothes, and I came out of it like a cocoon, and God clothed me with power from on high that I could glorify Jesus, that I could glorify the Father. Hallelujah. And it's going to be like this big show one day, and God's going to show off all the robes where people were dying, sick, disease. Hallelujah. And that old robe, it's like they told Lazarus. They said, Lazarus, come forth. And when he came out, what do? They took off that old garment and gave him a new one. They said, unravel him. Unwrap him. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And clothe him with a new glory. And it got to where Jesus went, that they didn't just come to see Jesus anymore. They had to come and see what Lazarus was doing. Where's this Lazarus guy that we know was dead, 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 and now he's alive, alive, alive. He got that new garment on. Hallelujah. the fashion show. Where's the fashion show at this week? Where's the fashion show at this month? Where God's showing off his glory clothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, God, we pray for my brother. We pray for PGN. We pray for Prophetic Grace Network, God. And what a powerful name you give, Prophetic Grace Network. Hallelujah. Grace, grace, prophesying grace, prophesying grace, prophesying grace, prophesying grace, prophesying grace, speaking grace on people, speaking unmerited favor of the Father upon your people, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to robe us with robes of glory. We're going to strut around all over the globe with that thing. And it's going to be a strut, but it's going to be a humble strut. It's going to be a strut like, look what my daddy did for me. Look what my God did for me. Look what my Jesus did for me. Look what the Holy Ghost did for me. He clothed me. He robed me. Hallelujah. And you know God's into that because when Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to robe themselves with leaves. And God says, nah, I got something better. He's into clothing. He's into robing you. Hallelujah. Now he robes us with righteousness. Hallelujah. Now he robes us with glory. Now he robes us with praise. Hallelujah. We're going to have so many clothes, so many different kinds of clothes for so many different occasions, like going to, oh, yeah, weddings, for wedding clothing, in Jesus' name. All kinds of clothing, God, that we have to have a wardrobe from the Father to go places in the Spirit that we could never go without that robe on. Hallelujah, because when the demons see that particular robe, they're going to go like, ah, why have you come to torment us with that robe? You got to, where'd you get that at? Hallelujah. Yeah. That's what happened when they saw Jesus walking on the shores of where the man who had a legion of demons, he saw the robe Jesus was wearing. He goes, why have you come to torment me? Yeah, those demons see that robe. They know what you're clothed with. The Bible even talks about in the book of Revelation that you'll not be found naked. What does naked mean? I mean, naked means you get robed upon, robed upon, robed. The robes of righteousness, the robes of glory, the robes of praise, all the different garments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That allows you entrance in to go anywhere you want to go. Wherever, anywhere God wants you to go, you can go there. Hallelujah. With authority on the robe you wear. Because you can't wear it unless God gives it to you. That's why they threw that guy out of the marriage, because he said, out of the wedding ceremony, he said, you don't have the right robe on. You know, that's just exactly what's going to happen. People can come in with the wrong robe. They're going to like, where'd you get this? You can't come in here. You know, you get smashed like a bug. You come in here without the right robe. You have to come in with the right, you have to be clothed upon from the Father. And the Father's wardrobe, we know it when we see it. You ain't got it on, you're out. You have no authority to be in this place. It's the robes of authority. Hallelujah. Your glory. We pray for PGN, God, Prophetic Grace Network, God, that we will be robed, that your people here, just everyday ordinary people with extraordinary love for God, we're going to be clothed. We're going to have a big, big show going on of all the glory clothing God is in part. We're going to be rich, but rich with love, rich with mercy, rich with grace, rich with power, rich with forgiveness, rich with mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Rich with the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God. My God, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I see somebody getting a robe that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you robe. I don't even know what that means, but I see somebody getting that robe with that. Even tonight, you're being robed with a robe that will forever answer the question, why hast thou forsaken me? Because sometimes we go through that. Jesus went through it. Why have you forsaken me, Father? Well, hallelujah. God resurrected him. With the resurrection, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hallelujah. Somebody's getting that anointing right now tonight, that robe. I've never seen this like this until tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the glory of the Father rest upon your people. Amen. Noel says, I received that rope. Amen. I don't know who that was for, man, but I saw that. Thank you, Noel. God bless you. I felt somebody getting that. Amen. I think we all need that sometimes in our lives. Sometimes once you get that robe and once you start wearing it, you know, it's like Jesus. After he said, why hast thou forsaken me on the cross? You know, there's a reason for all that. And you understand the reason for things, because when he robes you and shows you that he never did really leave you or forsake you, but he had to, for a season, allow you to go through things. Sometimes God allows us to go through things. Like, in a sense, it looked like Ken had been forsaken. I think he even talks about that in his books. I can't remember if he brought that up in the book or not. But sometimes God allows us to feel like we have been forsaken by the Father, like Jesus did on the cross. But the results that happen after that, of the resurrection power, because right after that, the result was 3 days in the 3 days in the earth, in the tomb, and then he raised up from the dead. And that's when his clothing got changed. He left those death clothes. Remember, Peter went in and saw the death clothes staying there, the napkin, whatever was wrapped around him. Yeah, he walked out without that. He just went right through that. Amen. He got the robe with the glory of God. He said, don't touch me, Mary, for I've not ascended to my Father yet. There was something going on there with that robing, where forever and ever and ever, never again did the Father ever have to leave him or forsake him in the sense of letting him go through something like that. Because once he conquered it, that was done. Hallelujah. When God says it's done, when Jesus said it's finished, it is finished. Hallelujah. Somebody tonight, amen. Noel, receive that. If anybody else feel like you receive that in Jesus' name. There's a noble. Hear that word noble again. I'm getting the word nobility, noble. There's a noble robe, a robe of nobility that God is about to clothe you with in Jesus' name, the robe of nobility. You can't have nobility without the robe of nobility from God. You try to get it from man. You try to be noble among men. You may be for a season, maybe for a time, but when your nobility comes from God, it is eternal. It's a garment you wear that never gets taken off of you. In Jesus' name, it's always with you and just shows up. It's like you can have 45 robes on at the same time. And the one that shows up is whenever one you need to enter into a wedding feast, all of a sudden you're 45 robes. The one that shows up that people see is that wedding robe. They see that wedding garment. They see that never been forsaken garment coming in. And it helps them see that, you know, God is not going to forsake me, leave me. And if it seems like it, there's a reason for it. Like Joseph said, you know, what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. He felt forsaken. God allowed him to feel forsaken. It was a setup for him to receive the glory of God, where God never left him nor forsook him. Once he went through that death, that tomb, in Jesus' name, he was raised from the tomb. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody's receiving a garment of healing and miracles. Amen. It's like we talk about the gifts, but tonight we're talking about the gifts in the forms of garments, of clothing, where we're going to have someday, you know, I kept seeing it like in the most unusual way of a, you know, when they go and they have a new clothing line and they show it up, right? And they come strutting out with some music and they're showing it. And it's all the glory. Oh, look at that beautiful garment. Oh, that's a healing miracle garment. Oh, isn't that the glitter on that thing? Look at that. And the jewels that comes with, oh, my God. Oh, I want one of those. And it causes people to want it. It causes them to want that robe. And when they want a robe that they don't have, they will pay a price for it. They will pay a price. They pray it. They'll have to go through it. Something. God will allow them to go something to be clothed upon with that particular garment. The show of people, you know, walking out and showing off these beautiful garments is so that the world will say, I want that. That's so beautiful. That's so pure. That's so glorious. I want that robe. Oh, that's a robe of righteousness. Oh, that's me. I want that robe of righteousness. And they get saved. And they get that robe of righteousness because they got saved. They got that robe. And they go walking around, you know, like I did when I got saved. You know, I didn't know, but I'm strutting around. I got a glow on my face. I didn't even know. I came from the pits of hell. I was a druggo, alcohol, sexual things, all kind of stuff. and Jesus Christ set me free instantaneously. And I went walking around with a new glow, a new glory garment, the garment of righteousness. And people are like going, what happened? They said, what happened to you? Like, they didn't know it, but what they were seeing was my new garment. Yeah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And I was strutting around for I don't know how long in Jesus, not even understand how would I deserve this. I don't know. But because I desired it, and God gave it to me in Jesus' name. There's robes. Hallelujah. Of all kinds, gifts, callings in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I see a garment of laughter and joy coming to you in Jesus' name. A laughter. And you said, man, I wish I could laugh like that. I wish I could laugh like that just anytime I need to. Anything. Some people can laugh and they watch a funny movie. They watch this somebody be funny, but just to laugh, just out of the blue, out of the literal blue, B-L-U-E, the blue representing the heavenly laugh, that laugh that comes from God, that's like a medicine that God is pouring that garment out on somebody tonight in the name of Jesus, of laughter and joy. Hallelujah. You know, this happens to me. I got that garment. I'm telling y'all, you know, I can be going along and people say, what's wrong with him? He's just laughing. He's talking about something really just like it should be serious. And Randy's just laughing. What's wrong with him? It's my garment of laughter and joy. And believe me, it's like a medicine. And just out of the blue, it'll hit me and I'll just start laughing. I was texting somebody the other day. I was, just to show you what goes on, I was texting somebody the other day something that was just like, you know, whatever. And I mean, when I sent that text, I looked at it after I sent it, and I looked at it, and for some reason, it was funny, and I laughed and laughed and laughed to my own embarrassment. I laughed so hard. It wasn't really that much funny with it, but when you have that garment of praise, when you have that garment of laughter, when you have that garment of joy upon you, it doesn't take much to trigger it. It can be some of the most silly, unorthodox thing, just out of the blue. Why is that funny? I think you're like, you must be drunk. He's like the day of Pentecost. He's accused of being drunk. Why? Because they were laughing. They were happy about something. They couldn't figure out what they're happy about. It ain't a day to be happy. You know, it's the Passover. We're supposed to be somber. It's the day of Pentecost, the day of weeks, Feast of Weeks. We're supposed to be serious with God, and they're laughing like a bunch of drunks. What's wrong with them? It was that garment. Hallelujah. The drunk garment. The drinking of the wine of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because once you get that garment going on, you get that new wineskin, you're clothed with that garment of wineskin, friend. Let me tell you something. You're going to be able to drink anytime you want, and it's free. You can be going along. You say, I need a drink, Lord. He goes, yeah. What kind, and you set up to the bar of the Holy Ghost, and he says, what do you want? I said, just whatever you think was good. It said, okay, let me serve you this. You serve you some kind of something, and my God, it's like all of a sudden you go places you ain't never been before. You get free of things you never thought you'd be free of from one little drink of what the Holy Ghost, what Jesus sets up, and you drink of him. You're drinking of him. That's a garment. You can't even get into that particular place and get a drink from him without that particular garment on. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a frontier, there's a pioneering spirit garment on somebody tonight to pioneer things, to frontier things. I know Ken has that on him already. Maybe this is like an activation in a new frontier, because we have a new frontier. We're entering into a new frontier in the earth, in the kingdom of God. We're entering into a new frontier. Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open up that garment, because you can't go into that frontier without the right garment on. You start trying to go there and the angels will stop you. You cannot come past this point, sir. You do not have the right garment on. What garment do I need? Well, the frontier garment. Oh, well, what does it look like? We can't tell you. It comes from God. Something like that. I'm just making this stuff up, but I'm not making it up. It's the Holy Ghost. But you can't come in. You can't come into this feast. You can't come in without your feasting clothes. Some people don't have any feasting clothes. All the clothes they got is mourning and sorrow. You got to have feasting clothes to come in and feast. Hallelujah. 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 When you go to one of Jesus's wedding. Woo! When you go to one of his, when you go to one of his marriage festivals, friend, get ready because it is joy and laughter and love like you have never seen, and dedication and commitment. Hallelujah. Ishe koka patana iki la bote venosa. Vedosa, 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 vedosa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like I see garments. Yeah. Fashion show. God said, I'm having a fashion show. I've been fashioning you in the fire. I've been fashioning you through your circumstances. I've been fashioning you, making you, creating you so you can fit into the garment that I have for you. Because when God makes that garment, he fashions it to you. It's fashioned just for you. Nobody else can wear it. It's like these garments that I'm seeing. They're like living beings, except they're garments, and they're alive. They're alive, and they know who their owner is, who God has fashioned them, and they cannot go on to anybody else. They cannot fit anybody. They won't even go there because they know who their owner is, or whatever you want to say. If they're alive, they're like a living creature, except they're clothing from heaven. Now, I've never heard of this before. If there's anything out there about this stuff, I don't know about it, but the fact that it's coming tonight by the name of Jesus, by the power of love, tells me that we're about to hear this from heaven. Somebody's going to have a vision, a dream. They're going to see the fashion show of heaven. I don't know. I don't understand it. I've heard of fashion shows before from the Lord years ago, and he's resurrecting that right now. I've never thought about it in all these different ways. This is all brand new as far as this part of it. Hallelujah. 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 Garments, 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 garments that allow act. You can't even get into places in the spirit without those garments. They're almost like rewards. Like the reward is what allows you to go to that place God wants you to go. That you can't get in. Get the angels and that guard all these places, all these realms. The angels guard those realms, friends, just like they guard the Garden of Eden. You can't get in there, you know, until God allows you, because they would not allow you. They're there with swords, whatever you want to say, power to stop you. You can't go in there without the right garment on. And we're going to start, it's the same thing about going into different levels and realms of the spirit, different power places, different realms of love even. Yeah, all that is by the garments that you wear. And the angels will not let you into that without that right garment. You can't trick them. You can't pray it. You can't confess it. It has to be a garment. Hallelujah. Wow. What a night tonight. Amen. Like our clothes closet, we have more than one. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, the garments are out. Our wardrobe. There you go. I believe. Amen. That's good. Thank you for saying that. Yes. Yeah, we have a wardrobe. Noel is saying this. Noel, the garments are our wardrobe. Amen. It's a thumbs up and heart, yeah. Like our clothes closet, we have more than one. Amen. Could you imagine showing up at I went to my meeting just recently. I've been going to meetings more lately. And, you know, it's like I don't go to meetings. I haven't been to meetings much. So I'm going like, you know, I can't even find my shoes. My meeting shoes and my meeting clothes, you know. So I could have gone any way I wanted to, right? But I just felt like, so I started looking around, and pretty soon, you know, I had clothes I forgot about that I wore to meetings. And so I said, look at this. I can't believe I got this. It's amazing. And I had it, didn't even know it. And so there's something about that tonight. I don't know what's happening with this. As Ken and I were talking, I think something got activated tonight, because this is not, it's like keys to the kingdom. You know, without a certain key, you can't get into a certain door. Except in this case, it's like you can walk through the walls you know, if you have the right robe on. You have entrance to in. Instead of having a key to get in, you have the robe. And a way I can confirm that biblically is because, you know, just one scripture I know about where they were in a wedding feast and a wedding party or whatever it was, and the guy didn't have the right robe on, so they threw him out. Remember that? Yeah. So your robes are extremely important to your access and to your ability to abide, you know, and be there. So this is something God's speaking tonight. It's all happened tonight. I've talked a little bit about garments before, you know, and the show and all that kind of thing, but not. In other words, it's like the things God has even spoke a little bit to me about before. It's like He's activating it now. Hallelujah.
Aloha.
In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open up. Woo, where angels fear to tread. Yeah. And there's garments that God gives us where angels fear to tread. Y'all hearing that? Where angels fear to tread. Is that a Bible scripture? What is that? Where angels fear to tread. Is that biblical? I don't even know. I'm going to look it up right now. Where angels Let me look that up real quick. Okay, I don't see. I don't know if that's a scripture. It's like somebody, E.M. Foster, said, "When Angels Fear to Tread," 1905, is a novel by E.M. Foster. The title comes from a line. I don't know what that is. Anybody familiar with that? Trying to find a scripture for that, maybe. Okay, I'm not getting anything. I'm Googling that right now, and I'm not getting anything on that as far as scriptures go. So it's just saying that somebody said in I cannot clarify that anymore. I don't remember scripture, but still God speaking. So as you guys know how He does it around here. And so thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you for opening those doors tonight. Thank you for, not necessarily for open doors, but for brand new garments that you're placing upon us that fit us and only us. Nobody else can have that garment but you, and the way it manifests on you, the way it fits you. It's not that different people can't have the same gifts, but it fits them differently. Like everybody has a miracle ministry or a whatever ministry going on, prophecy ministry. There's many different ways that prophecy manifests through people. It does through me one way, it will other prophets a different way. Same thing with healing ministries. Healing ministries, they all have their different wardrobe about them. Still healing a wardrobe, but it's different styles, different looks, the way it works and the way it happens and the way they develop it and the way it, you know, they do things. So the scriptures that they use, everything's different, right? But it's still the same kind of gift. And so it really made it. All right, y'all, I don't know. I didn't take one caller tonight. So, you know, sometimes I haven't done that in a while, but, you know, God ordained this tonight. So I believe in Him to reward us however He chooses to reward us for our obedience. To Him, God always rewards us for our obedience to Him, and our rewards come to help develop the will of God in our lives. Whether it's favor with people, the reward can be favor with people. It can be all different kinds of things, right? New gifts, new garments. The reward can your obedience to God and letting Him crush you. He puts a new garment on you, right? Yeah, a new garment for access to you know, mantles. Like some people have a mantle on them that gives them access to the mantles, to hand mantles out, you know, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. You know, kind of in a sense that, you know, what happened with Elijah when the mantle of Elijah came on Elisha, you know, something like that. Except totally different, really. Like being able to pray on people, pray over people, and impart gifts or activate the garment, if you will, something like that. Perhaps the robes protect us from where angels' spirits tread. Yeah, could be. I don't know. We'll have to look into that a little bit more. That's a good thought, though. Perhaps the robes protect us from where angels' spirits tread. That's a really good point. I really like that. Yeah. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Ken, for being with us tonight. Thank you, Noel, for that. Thank everybody for your Cynthia for sharing that, and for others who it was Cheryl from Florida who made a comment earlier about some things. Yeah, and for your prayer requests and all the things. I don't apologize for not praying for you tonight. You know how it goes around here. We do our best to obey God. Wednesdays we pray for every person, right? That's why we do Wednesdays like that. So if tonight, like nights like tonight, where we don't, a whole different thing. Tomorrow night, I don't know what's going to go on, but Wednesday, unless God changes it, which I don't see it, dedicated completely to prophesying and praying over one person after the other, which we do, 20 to 40 people on Wednesdays, every Wednesday, from 20 to 40 people every time. And then on Thursday, we pray for 20 to 40 people. Again, prophesy over them through offerings and gifts and all that you give. So, but amen. You don't have to have money to be prophesied to around here. Just call in. If you got the phone, you can call in and just put your hand up. And we'll pray and prophesy over you. Don't even have to know who you are. Yep. Don't even have to have a name or nothing. Amen. God is good. All right. Thank you, Ken, for being with us. Thank everybody else for being with us also. I guess I'm going to call it a night because now I think I have, once I kind of do finish the thing God has me doing, then I'm kind of like not wore out, but like at the end of energy, so to speak. So if you want that book, I will buy it for you and send it to you. So if you want that, we're glad to get it to you. Just let me know. Give me your address and all that kind of thing. All right, and it will be yours. All right. God bless everybody. Thank you. Let us know how you anything happened to you tonight or any night. God does something for you. Please share it. Let us know. It builds us up. All right, thank you so much, and we will talk to you tomorrow night. Bye-bye.